This is the way the colonial settlers made their butter. Would anyone like to take a turn?
This is PFW in progress.
Yeah, over here. Let him do it. He's had a lot of practice.
PFW in progress.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the motion.
Yeah, he churns it about four times a day.
With Fred Kirsch.
What's your name, Patriot?
My name's
Paul Perillo.
I'm on my senior class trip. I'm here from Lexington, Mass., home state of Paul Revere, John Hancock, and Noma! Noma!
Okay, you want to turn?
And Andy. And Andy?
Ooh, wow, you got strong arms. He would have definitely survived the hardships of a colonial lifestyle.
Andy Hart.
Hey, Math in Washington. I can't understand a freaking word you're saying. That accent makes you sound retarded.
The Sheriff, Tom Casale.
Why are y'all taping this?
Yeah, I do all my projects on video because I suffer from several as yet unnamed learning disabilities.
He did not get proper nutrition during his toddler years.
Swear to God.
Yeah, his mother's breast milk's like Bailey's Irish cream.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
Hey, where'd you get that dress? Ye old house of juggery?
PFW in progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Yeah, the job market is really ridiculous right now.
Yeah, I got fired from Tom McCann for using the foot measure inappropriately.
Apparently my wiener is a lady size 5.
Welcome back, Gillette Stadium, PFW in progress, Wednesday afternoon. And it's PUP week. That's right. The most interesting aspect surrounding the Patriots this week, following a domination of the Dallas Cowboys at Texas Stadium, has nothing to do with the 0-6 Miami Dolphins. It's the question of who, if anyone, is going to begin practicing this week. We should have some information on that soon, since they actually are going to take the practice field, and I don't think Bill can delay it any longer. He was asked about the PUP list today, and sort of said, we'll have that for you when we have that for you, or whatever, however he phrased it. He did not definitively talk about any of the four members who could begin practicing today. The key members, Richard Seymour and Troy Brown, were not in the locker room. And so no one really knows who's going to start practicing this week, if anyone. But I do believe that's the most interesting aspect of this week, because even Bill Belichick struggled a little bit today to find ways to praise the Miami Dolphins. 0-6 football team, they have some playmakers. They had three or four, and they traded one yesterday to the Chargers, so now they're down a playmaker. On offense, I'd say it's Ronnie Brown, and it's Ronnie Brown.
Yeah, we found something Bill isn't the best at. It's doing the Lou Holtz.
He struggled.
He ought to watch Lou, study him, because, boy, that Lou made those Navy teams look like they were unbeatable.
And Bill went to the fact that he was praising Ted Ginn for a kick return that I believe was called back.
That's correct.
So now we're...
I know for a fact it was. Paul and I have a bet.
Now we're praising plays that don't actually count. The Dolphins just, they're not a good football team. They're not well coached. But they are the Chargers East on offense, and that's why we've seen this explosion of Ronnie Brown in the LaDainian Tomlinson role. And on defense, they're the same team that shut out the Patriots last year. And
except not as good.
Except probably not as good anymore. But it's the same defense, same scheme, Dom Capers, no changes. Jason Taylor still making plays. I'd say as a Patriots fan, that's your one fear, that Jason Taylor takes over a game, runs through Tom Brady, forces a fumble, picks it up, scores, does that five times, and they have a chance to win.
And it's 42-7.
Well, I said five times, 42-35. Patriots still win.
I think the biggest news of the Dolphins this week is the Chargers got significantly better by taking one of their players.
And we talked about this yesterday, Tom. It doesn't get the attention it should because of the struggles the Chargers had to open the year, but rewind 6 weeks and what you thought of the Chargers coming in. You thought they were maybe the most talented team in football, one of the favorites for the AFC, and one of their great weaknesses was the receiver position. Well, they added a proven playmaker at receiver. Now, we don't know how quickly he'll get into the offense or what, although that should be
the same
sped
thing.
Up because he's been doing it. Yep. Perfect. He's going to be making plays for them. I
and
think you're going to worry
playmaker.
About those Chargers late in the year.
Like we were saying upstairs, him and Lee Evans are kind of in the same class that if they played on the Colts or the Patriots, they would be phenomenal.
Right. He's not consistent. I think he's got a little Dante Stallworth in him.
Drops a
but he
of
can
balls
make ridiculous plays.
Yes.
Some of the best catches you'll ever see, some of the catches that always win those like Cannon Awards at the end of the year for best photos is usually him sticking a hand out and just ripping the ball out of
and
the air
we
one-handed.
All, we all heard, well, what would Wes Welker do, you know, in a good offense? Well, you know, look at Chambers, a downfield threat, because you're putting him next to an Antonio Gates,
with Damian Tomlinson. That's a weapon on the outside that they've needed, and
gladly,
that's a big trade.
You're talking about a team that will probably win the AFC West. I think we all agree on that. So you're talking about a second-round pick that's probably going to be down the down the road a little bit in that second round. To me, that's a no-brainer.
For a proven playmaker. A proven playmaker at a position you have a serious need, and as you know, we just sort of figured out, he's been running the offense, so it's even better. It shouldn't take him as long to get acclimated, and I think that's a huge trade for them, and I think that bumps them up a half a notch in the power rankings. Wherever you think they are right now, bump them up a little bit.
What do you guys think of the Jets trying to unload Pennington? Do they just make the switch to Clemens not soon? I mean, if he's on the block.
I think they've got to.
I would be making that move. I mean, not necessarily trading Pennington. I don't really care about that because I don't know how much you can get. I mean, there are some teams that are badly in need of quarterbacks right now. You know, Arizona, you know, with their injury problems.
He doesn't really fit there, don't you think, like with those big play receivers. He has to go to
offenses. I do see him fitting with Fitzgerald because I don't think he gets downfield that much. But your larger point is I agree with I think you got to make the move to Kellen Clemens, though. Regardless, you're not going anywhere this year.
You have to find out.
You got one win. Find out what you have, and find out what you need to do in the offseason.
You're going
to
get a top 10 draft pick, and there's about five quarterbacks coming out this year. You have to know if you need to get one of those guys.
So plenty of topics on the table. PUP, Dolphins. If we want to talk more about beating Dallas and how that played out, Tom Brady, Player of the Week, Tom Brady, cover boy for Sports Illustrated. The praise is beginning to come for this team in greater. I think more people are taking undefeated seriously than a couple weeks ago when you heard it first on PFW in Progress. After week two, we were talking about undefeated, and we're still on the undefeated train. But all those topics on the table, webradiopatriots.com. If you want to email us, webradio@patriots.com.
Lucky.
508-543-7482. And a guy who knows that number is Lucky, our boy who sends us lunch more often than anyone, courtesy of the U.S. government. Lucky, what's going on?
What's going on, Andy? How you doing?
Good. What's up?
Nothing much. I'm just chilling, driving, going to get me some food. I'm starving.
Do you actually work? Isn't the military supposed to be hard? What do you do?
I just came off of fixing an aircraft, so don't give me that. Do I actually work stuff?
Yeah, Lucky, I thought you guys did more by 6 a.m. than I do all day or whatever that is.
No. That's in the Marine Corps.
That's the hard stuff.
I was used to that when I was in the Corps, and I'm in the Air Force now. They take it easy.
You were in the Marine Corps, too?
Yes, I was in the Marine Corps first. That was my first thing. I was in the Marines first for 5.5 years, and then I switched over to the Air Force.
Now, is the Marines, is that the toughest?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
I don't care what anybody else says. They go through a lot.
All right. So what's up football related?
I talked to Lori over the weekend, though.
I'll be talking to Lori this weekend.
I was going
to
say, you were hitting on Lori.
Why are you teaming up on me? She looks better in person than she does on TV.
Ah, so you got a little thing for Lori now, huh?
She looked good. I talked to her. I figured I might be able to taste some muffins or something.
She's got good muffins.
She's overrated.
Yeah, you would know about that, wouldn't you, Andy?
No comment.
Whoa.
You eat your muffins. They're moist.
No comment.
No comment.
Yeah, yeah. I got a wife.
Okay. Well, the Pats killed Dallas, which was good to watch there with the game with the greats. So you think they have any problems on Miami, but, you never know.
So how did the game with the greats go? Did you get to talk to Hannah and some of those guys?
Yeah, we had a conversation with Hannah. He was interested in because I coach youth football, so we talked for a while. And I got to meet Andre Tippett and the rest of them. I got them to sign an autograph of ball for me.
Cool. So you had fun.
Yeah, I had a great time.
I hope you didn't ask Andre Tippett any tips on coaching youth football. I don't think
he
does.
No, I didn't really. He was too busy trying to eat. That's
our tip.
So I just got him to sign the ball for me right quick, and I just kept it moving.
All right, well, I'm glad you had fun. Glad you called in, and glad you're still hitting on Lori and spreading these stories that the lunch was for her and we didn't give her any.
You know what? Okay, here, listen, right now. I didn't say that. She said that she was going to tell y'all that just to try to get y'all all riled up.
Well, it worked.
So that's just something that she made up because she wanted to get you all riled up, Andy. That had nothing to do with me.
That's more their flirting there, Lucky.
Right.
We don't get involved with that.
I don't mind sending her a little something. I would hand deliver it if I could.
Easy. Right. It's a family show. All right, Lucky.
Sort of.
Y'all take care.
We'll see you, Lucky.
All right, Lucky.
Can we ask Fred why iPhones suck?
Well, it sounded like he had something else going on in the background, too. And that's pretty cool, though. He fixes a plane, and then he goes for lunch.
Then he calls us.
Guy's got some interesting priorities in life.
We're getting big, I'll tell you.
I bet you he could whoop some tail, too.
Oh, yeah.
Being in the Marines and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Don't want to mess with Lucky.
Yeah.
Couldn't hang in the Marines, though, so we had to downgrade to the Air Force.
Well, I think he graduated from the Marines, so now he's taking it easy in the Air Force. I always knew those Air Force guys were a bunch of you-know-whats.
What?
Luckies.
Meows. Them in the Navy. I got no respect for those guys.
Anytime we got to go fight somewhere, you guys are there to give us a ride?
Give me the Army and the Marines any day.
Well, the Marines seem to be legit. Seems like everybody is.
Well, they need to whoop butt overseas. That's who they send. Those are the guys that have all those secret things that nobody else knows.
Right.
And if they...
16 ways to kill a person without a weapon.
And if they have to give up any information, they have to take like a cyanide.
Right. Yeah. They're legit. They get the job done. Like the Patriots get the job done. Apparently, we have some emails
like
here.
A cookie.
Were you... was I on the show yesterday? What was yesterday?
You were on the show for a little while.
Did we talk about Pro Bowl selections? Because I see emails here about Pat's Pro Bowl selections.
I believe those are from John Rook's show.
Homer Rook jumping on the Pro Bowl bandwagon early.
His show really brings ours down.
Anybody on the Patriots not deserve to go to the Pro Bowl, by the way?
Wes Welker.
The total opposite year for the Patriots. I mean,
well, Wes Welker won't make
Chris
it.
Chris Hansen.
Though.
Well, I'm not saying who's going to make
no,
it. I'm
I
saying
know.
Deserve. I mean, they have two receivers in the top five in receptions. You know, I guess the running backs don't go, but obviously Brady, you know.
Well, let's rattle
You're going to get Brady Moss.
Mankins will go for sure this year.
Everyone's
been saying, you know, he's a future Pro Bowler.
I think at least one offensive lineman, maybe two.
Yeah, I don't know who it'll be, but.
I'm thinking two. I think Copen might go.
I think an offensive lineman.
But where do you think guys like Peter King get?
But they've been writing that for 3 years.
But
when's
that
he
means people
it?
Are saying that
How
this
dumb
year,
is Peter King?
This year that the offensive line is so dominant, you would think he'd be the guy that goes.
But I would say at minimum that's three there with Moss, Brady, and an offensive lineman. Then you go to defense. Ty Warren's got to go, right?
He's got the
numbers. Last 2 years,
well, listen,
everybody praising
him. Well, if Wolfork doesn't go, there should be an investigation.
I think you go from what you did last year, too, with Ty Warren.
Right.
You know, last year he got on everybody's radar, and this year he's continued that. So
that's
goes.
Four. Asante Samuel's got to go,
he
right?
Could count
Wolfork?
Wolfork could go.
I think Wolfork could go. I don't know if he's. I think Warren's the one.
And don't forget, those defensive linemen have even better shots because Seymour can't go.
Yes. Right.
So,
and I'm going to be leading the charge if Wolfork.
But how many
did
they
take? I think he's the most dominant player.
Because we know Jamal Williams is going.
Well, he shouldn't.
But he's going to go.
But he also is injured, though. He just had arthroscopic surgery in both knees.
I'm taking Wolfork. He's in.
I don't know how much time he's going to miss because of that.
Maybe Adalys Thomas?
I personally don't think Adalys Thomas should go. I think he's been good, but not Pro Bowl.
But if they're 16-0, don't you think
that's the thing.
He's kind of the leader?
It's
going to
be like
probably,
the San Diego thing last year, you know? They didn't probably deserve to have 10 Pro Bowlers, but, you know.
And maybe Samuel?
You're 14-2.
I think Samuel goes.
Samuel, I think, has to go.
So how many is that?
That's 1, 2, 3, 4. And 3 on offense is 7. If we get another offensive lineman's 8.
I think 7's a good number.
Somewhere in there.
I can see 7.
All right. Why don't you read with some of the
John Quigley. Here's my list today. Only 6 games, but here goes. Offense, Tom Brady, 1. Number 2.
I can't see it.
Matt Light.
Oh, no, seriousness, I don't see that.
I don't either. And number 3, Randy Moss, should be number 2 or number 1. And then defense, Ty Warren, Vince Wilfork, and...
Samuel.
No.
Thomas.
Dallas Thomas.
No.
Vrabel?
No.
Today, Junior?
I don't know.
Today.
Ellis Hobbs?
Junior.
Sayow?
Today, Junior?
That's John's opinion. Hey, it's his opinion. We don't have to make fun of him.
No,
I see what you're
John
doing.
Got a lot of emails on there, and a lot said Sayow.
If Sayow makes the Pro Bowl,
I'm sorry,
then the Pro Bowl's more of a joke than I ever thought it was.
I'm sorry I didn't pick up on that drop-in, by the way.
Yeah, you're a little slow on that.
He's a rotating linebacker.
Yeah.
I agree, but I'm just saying, John Quigley and Eddie.
His interceptions are crap. They're tipped in the air. Romo threw that one right to him in garbage time. I think Seau's doing a great job for this defense. Doing a fine job. He's not going to the Pro Bowl.
Ben from Boxborough checking in. Hey, Tom, Andy, Paul, Frank, do we still call him that? And the leg. No, we don't really call him Frank anymore.
We started to use the word useless a lot, though.
Yeah. But he was an active member of the TV show we had last night.
No. And I urge people, spirited member.
I don't know.
Yes.
Maybe
urge
like Jake
people
Steele.
To go through your guide. Well, actually, ignore your guide.
That one never fails to get me to laugh.
And try to find a show because it was a great show. Chris Collins was absent. We had a fill-in host, Mike Giardi, and the most spirited
phenomenal.
PFW show of the year.
We'll leave it up to the viewers if they think. I thought it was
just
the best show
the
we've ever had. You tell me if you think it was just a coincidence or the fact that we had a substitute
Fred Kirsch
host.
Was on point, calling Kevin Falk one of the best blitz picker-uppers in football.
Best third-down blitz picker-uppers.
It all goes back to the host.
I agree. But a very spirited show. Be interested to get some opinions from anybody who did watch it. And if you didn't, shame on you. You should be watching it.
Yeah, if you didn't, you were watching the Red Sox game. Shame on you.
Yeah, it was over at that point.
A question from yesterday,
no,
Andy.
He may play Sunday.
He may even play Sunday.
I'm rooting for him and holding my breath all at the same time.
I'm going to root for him and have my eyes closed while watching, if that makes
any
sense.
Luckily for him, Larry Johnson gets 35 carries a game. So.
I think so much of the guy, both as a player and a person, and I've never met him, but my parents did, and they speak so highly of him that I root for him, but I'm so afraid of the injury that he had that it ends up being something much more serious.
Should we say Priest Holmes? Did we ever actually say the name?
Priest
we're
Holmes.
Watching.
Yeah.
Oh, we did?
Yeah, I said Priest Holmes.
Oh, okay.
We were asking about it yesterday.
Long time no email from me. Remember, this is Ben from Boxborough.
Yeah.
But I had a question that I thought of watching the game Sunday night. Do you think that Kevin Falk has lived up to his status as a second-round draft pick? I know he's always been an important contributor on offense and special teams, but his name doesn't often come up on the show here. Anyway, I'd like to hear everyone's opinion. Thanks, and keep up the good work. I do think he's lived up to his status as a second-round pick.
I do as well. I think he's been a very productive guy for a lot of years. Now, if you took him with, say,
the fourth overall pick, like Willie McGinnis,
he's a bust.
Thank you.
As a second-round pick, you're looking for starting caliber players that do it for a period of time. And even
guy's made a lot of big plays.
He's not a starter by name, but he's been a core member of the offense for the better part of a decade. That to me is a good second round pick.
Yeah.
And a damn good blitz picker.
You know the phrase, there's nothing worse than wasted talent.
Right.
And I don't think Falk has wasted his talent because the one thing that he has that hurts him is size. And there's nothing you can do about that. He's not going to be an every down back in the NFL. And so for what he has, I think he's gotten the most out of his ability.
I agree. And he was productive. See, he was even productive before Belichick got here, too. It was a shortened rookie year, but you saw signs that he could do the things that we've seen him do with Belichick, too. It's not just a matter of, oh, they got on good teams and he became a productive player. You know, I don't want to paint him out to be a superstar, but he's been a pretty solid guy for a lot of years.
We have a new listener here. Jamie Hammond says, hey, guys, I just discovered PFW in Progress a couple weeks ago, and I'm really glad I did. I download you guys every afternoon, and your show makes my interminable commute back to Brooklyn more bearable. You've got a really fun, informal format. I'm pretty sure we're informal, if nothing else.
You have a very good gauge on our show.
That's all your own. You don't try to sound just like sports talk radio, and that's a good thing. Okay, we're nothing like sports talk radio. I think we're a little like it, maybe. No.
But he's saying we don't try to sound just
no,
like
we're it. All we are our own entity.
As Bill says, it
for
is,
better or worse.
It is what it is. We are what we are.
My one request would be for your audio engineers, or IT, or whomever, so that'd be either Gary Gerdecki or Chris Ferreira, one of them dropping the ball, to turn up the volume on your podcast recordings. So I'm guessing this is a Chris Ferreira problem. Are we on board with that, Gary? We'll bring Chris.
I'm always on board.
Multiple complaints about this in history. We tell him about it. He says it's not his problem.
Hey, Ferreira, do something about this, or we're going to give you a slap.
Other podcasts I can hear with the volume on my iPod two-thirds of the way up, but all of Patriots.com podcasts are so quiet I have to turn the volume all the way up and still can't hear what you're saying when the subway platform is noisy. So, Chris, fix the problem. Turn up the master audio or whatever they call it.
You know what I've noticed around here? When there's a problem that a bunch of people complain about, nobody does anything. Even Fred. Fred blames them.
I'm going to read this email. It's a little long, but I figure he's the first-time emailer. Give him a little extra. We don't need to get seven Craig emails in the time for this show.
We don't need to get any Craig emails.
That's true.
Read the Hammer's email. I like it.
The Hammer?
Yeah.
All right. Anyway,
his name is Jason Hammond. You said,
I
right?
get what you did there.
Do you remember Leslie the Hammer?
There were
Hammond?
Okay,
Reggie Hammonds.
Oh, did you see Susie Colbert pregnant?
No, I didn't.
Going to have a baby girl, not married apparently. Because
I am more than a little surprised by that.
Well, I think Mike Flory on Pro Football Talk was too, because he said she's still trying to figure out who the father is. They've eliminated Tom Brady, they think, but maybe not Michelle DeFoya.
What about Joe Namath?
Could be. There was also a Joe Namath reference in the little paragraph about her having a child.
I couldn't care less about the team struggling.
Anyway, there were two topics brought up on yesterday's show I wanted to comment on. The first is your consensus agreement with Patrick Creighton's assessment that the Cowboys' offense stopped themselves more than the Pats' defense stopped them. Did we argue that?
No, we were just
saying. Was I on the show yesterday?
No, we were saying more that the Patriots' offense was the reason.
Won the game.
Right.
I thought the Patriots' offense was the reason the Cowboys' offense didn't score more points than
I watched the game over, and after those first couple series, the only people who stopped Dallas were Dallas with the stupid penalties.
The first two drives, the Patriots' defense came out and played lockdown phenomenal, 2-3 and outs. Dallas could do nothing. Then from that point on, they moved the ball reasonably well almost every other possession. And only didn't score when they stopped themselves with penalties. And the other reason the score was down a little bit was the Patriots had the ball the whole game.
Just
2/3 of the game.
While the penalties hurt, certainly hurt, I think their role in the game's outcome is being overestimated. The Cowboys had 10 possessions in the game, not counting getting the ball back with 19 seconds left to end the game. In those 10 opportunities with the ball, they had 7 drives of 4 plays for 20 yards or less. Of those 7 do-nothing drives, the Cowboys had offensive penalties on only 2 of them, leaving 5 short drives for which they can't blame penalties.
I don't think,
I don't think that's accurate.
They had 12 penalties.
I don't have the numbers.
One of them, Paul, was when they got the ball and they completed a pass to the 50-yard line. You remember that? So, it was a holding penalty, and they were back to the 15. That was a huge penalty.
You're saying they had 7 3-and-outs?
Who's you?
No, I mean,
the hammer.
I don't.
They had a lot more than 2 penalties on offense.
Right.
I know that.
7 drives of 4 plays for 20 yards or less.
Yeah. I don't think they had 7 drives that they didn't do anything with.
I don't have the game book in front of me.
That's all I'm asking.
Is the game book's in that book, isn't it? Isn't it
First
in that
all,
Patriots release?
7.
All right. Can you open that release? I think it's in there.
They had 10 drives, and he just said 7 of them. They didn't move the ball. How did they score 4 times?
Can you open that book? I believe it's in there. You check on that. I'll keep reading. We'll get back to the facts. As for the penalty marred drives, their first is this all like about, finally I'd like to put 2 big plays, have call back, 23-yard pickup by Owens, successful. I'm going to keep going. Now about Welker. We'll get back to that. The good little player. While I understand being hesitant to crown a 5'9 kid without breakaway speed a great player, I think some of you are being a bit skimpy with your praise. How can you not love his game? He has uncanny knack for catching the ball with his back to a defender at a dead run without committing to a direction after the reception, enabling him to consistently pick up more yak than he should. Well, he gets more yak than he should, I'll say that, because he gives that little wiggle, and everybody dives by him for some reason. No one, I just stare at his hips. He doesn't move.
Stare
he gives like
hips.
A little head bob, and then...
That's like football 101 from Pee Wee League.
But it works. It works for him somehow. His ability to get open so consistently has already made him a go-to guy for our QB. No receiver on the Pats has been targeted on a higher percentage of the offensive snaps for which he's been on the field, per Reese, and he's always, even in Miami, caught an impressive percentage of the passes thrown his way, per footballoutsiders.com. As for either Tom or Paul, sorry, can't quite distinguish all
it's
you guys
Paul.
By voice yet. It is Paul. Having a problem with his price tag, I think it's actually quite reasonable in the context of the post-CBA contracts. Paul, you got it?
That was a decent email.
I had some research. Absolutely. I did look at –
And there was 3 more paragraphs of research.
There were actually 3 and outs to start the game. I thought there were 2.
Yeah,
there were the first 3 possessions. But now I'm going through and the first 3 and out after that was because of an offensive holding penalty that knocked them back and forced them to go 20 yards. The next drive, they had a four-play drive that was stopped by a penalty that negated the 23-yard completion. Then the next drive, they kicked a field goal, and then that was the last drive. So there weren't the amount of 3-and-outs
And
it just wasn't accurate.
Listen,
every drive after the first 3 that they didn't move the ball was penalty related.
You guys would admit that I've been pretty realistic over this whole game, right? I mean, I even want them to lose to Minnesota this week so I can sit back and watch the destruction begin on Wade Phillips. But listen, being an unbiased observer, Tony Romo had a good game, I thought. I thought once they got past that thing that you said, Paul, those first 3 drives, I thought he completed passes pretty much to whoever he want. I thought there was some bad coaching there because they didn't use Witten enough. But I really don't think the Patriots did a lot to stop them. I just don't. And, it was more like we said, the offense.
You're lucky Fred Kirsch isn't here questioning
it's
the defense.
It's kind of like what Paul always says about Belichick's game plan in the Super Bowl. My father says the same thing, a huge Giants fan. The Bills scored a point per minute.
Right.
They never had the ball. It was the offense that won that game. The offense kept their offense off the field. Kind of the same thing that happened here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I just want to defend ourselves a little bit. I don't think any of us said that the penalties had anything to do with the outcome of the
no,
game.
No, no way.
Because I don't think it did. And number one, number two, the penalties were legit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had guys moving at the snap. They had guys that were blatantly holding. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were penalties. Penalties are part of the game. And
the only one that was in question was the one on Moss, I thought, because I thought the guy beat him to the spot, the pass interference.
Yeah, I thought the pass interference was questionable, but the offensive penalties the Cowboys committed generally were good calls.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that when you looked at the way they got backed up, all those drives, those were huge penalties on them.
Yeah.
You know, that forced
them to
have to punt.
Yeah, we're not saying that was the outcome. We're saying the Cowboys are stupid. They do this every week.
Right?
Every week they have 10 or 12 penalties. It's their own damn fault.
I'm actually using it as an example of why the Patriots were so much better than Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's part of the game. That's discipline, and
yes,
that's coaching. And that's a tangible part of the game.
We know we always try to do the good thing, the public service announcements around here. And Barry from Orange County would like us to make an announcement. See if anyone... They're going to be tailgating at Orange E23 at Dolphins Stadium on Sunday. Not formally organizing anything, but just trying to get all the Pats fans together at E23 at Dolphins Stadium. So, Tom, if you want to go out there and meet with the fans, we'll send you. And just a note, apparently the parking pass is $30 to $40 on Craigslist. But E23... Orange.
Okay, just one more thing about this is something someone emailed in yesterday, and we kind of didn't know about it yet, but apparently Wade Phillips did say that about the running game.
Oh, yeah.
That he was trying to stop Sammy Morris.
Yeah, I read that whole story. Yeah.
He should be fired today then, right?
He said it on Monday, not on Sunday.
Right, on Monday.
And he said that we went in trying to take away Morris and forcing Brady to beat us. My point on that is I don't really think that that's what he did.
But
I really
the
think
one
that
thing
was
that bothered me that he
stupid,
said, Paul,
idiotic thing.
He said, we did the same thing last time we played him, and we got 3 picks. I'm just wondering if he's one of those guys like we were talking about yesterday who just does, he's got that big ego, he does what he does, and this is my defense, I'm going to run it.
I think it's just he does what he does.
But if you thought that this Patriots team was anything like that team you saw in San Diego, you are an absolute moron, absolute moron.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely idiotic, and he got everything he deserved.
All right, root for the Vikings this week. Go Andy's Vikings.
Tavares. And, you know, the running back who also plays there. Hey, PJ Naccarelli, thoughts on the game. Hey, guys, first of all, I have to give you guys props because you all basically called the game right on the nose. Yes, we did. High scoring. Dallas
D. Except for Fred.
That's true.
We all picked the score for the Cowboys except for Fred.
Dallas D needs a big turnover to stay in it, but too much Brady in the end. A job well done. Now, did it seem to you that the Pats would score and may continue to score all year anytime they need to? I just got the feeling that if Dallas scored 50, the Pats would have scored 60. Also, how different of an outcome would we have if we switched the defenses? If the Cowboys had the Pats D and vice versa, would there have been a difference, or is the Pats offense just that much better than the rest of the league?
Well, I think the Cowboys would have had a heck of a better chance of winning the game because you'd have Samuel.
Right.
You know, and you have Hobbs, who's healthy.
I still take my chances, Brady, Moss, and company
say,
versus
really,
no,
these.
I'm not saying – no, I'm
I don't,
not –
I don't think the Patriots would have scored 1 point less than 48, regardless of going against Dallas' defense.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I consider New England to have a little bit better defense than the Cowboys personnel-wise, so I think maybe you get one or two stops where Dallas had no chance of ever stopping.
You know how we saw Braylon Edwards beating Hobbs? I think you'd see Randy Moss beating Hobbs.
You're not getting
consistently.
I'm not saying that I don't think this offense would score on the defense. The question was, what do you think that the game would have been any closer? And I just feel that the Patriots have more pieces in place than Dallas's defense. I mean, listen,
probably.
Jacques Reeves cannot make this team. And that means Nate Jones certainly can't because he's below Jacques Reeves.
You know what? Let me take that back. They would have scored 41.
Okay.
Because Belichick because Belichick wouldn't have scored that last touchdown because he would have liked all the guys on defense,
okay.
Adalys Thomas and Asante Samuel, you know, Ty Warren. He had a lot of history with
these
guys.
You know
what
I'm saying? I don't know if they would have scored. Maybe they would have scored 48.
But Patriots defense is better than Dallas.
I think it would have been harder to score.
Right.
It was just too easy against Dallas is basically what I'm saying.
The Patriots defense is far superior to Dallas. We're obviously exaggerating a little bit here. We all agree that the Patriots defense is much better than Dallas's.
Patriots are an offensive-based team.
But I think that they will score.
They're going to score. They're going to score.
I think they would score plenty. I think they would score plenty.
There's no defense in today's football, including the Patriots, that can stop that offense. No.
Finally, I am just a little nervous about the running game with Morris getting hurt. Let's just say we're playing Pittsburgh in the AFC title game in the same conditions as we played Oakland in the Snow Bowl. There's a lot of assumptions there. Isn't that like 4 months away and injuries can be healed by then?
You know what snow's good for? Passing.
Right. Does the weather neutralize our strength and give the Steelers a big-time chance to beat us? I'm just thinking of possible ways that we don't win the Super Bowl this year. Great show, guys. PJ, P.S. I want to correct Paul, who said that Hugh Douglas was on T.O.'s side in Philly. Actually, Douglas got into a fist fight with T.O. in the locker room. Trotter was the big name
Trotter,
in T.O.'s
yes.
camp
Thank
in 2005.
You are right.
When the problems broke out. No disrespect, Paul.
No.
Whenever I disagree with you, Andy says I hate you, which I don't. Now, Andy, on the other hand. Well, I hate you, PJ, so suck it.
No,
you're any more emails read.
That's right. I messed that up.
Yeah, I was thinking it was Trotter.
And as soon as he said Trotter, I was like,
suck
there
it.
You go. That's right.
Sirs, could you please tell me why I have not been receiving my PFW until Saturday, whereas the first 3 weeks...
Why do you read every email?
Because that's funny. That's Carol Hardy. She is our circulation manager. You could pose all questions to her.
Back to that guy who's looking for...
phone number is in the front of the paper. Oh, that's right. You don't get it.
The guy... I already sent her that email. The guy in the... organizing the tailgate, Andy. Why are you sending Tom out there? You're the man of the people.
Yeah, you're the man of the people.
I know.
That's you.
I have a digestive problem.
What's that have to do with anything?
Have to do with going out to
I have diabetes.
It's the first thing I thought of.
What if I pass out on my walk down there?
Did you see Sean Springs' dad?
Yes.
Diabetes
Ron Springs,
in and stuff.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I guess it's pretty bleak.
Yeah.
And he had just gotten the transplant
7 months
from, the transfer
ago. Yeah.
From Drew Pearson.
Everson Walls.
I mean, Everson Walls.
They're all the same to you.
But, yeah, I
Cowboys,
guess.
Cowboys, idiot. Give me that look.
My inside people are telling me it's not looking good.
Inside people.
Matt from Quincy, back from Dallas. Hey, guys. I was at the game, and it was a great time. I have to say I have been to many away games, and the Cowboys fans were among the best I have met. There was a lot of good-natured back and forth, but they were very friendly, and it made for a great experience. Really, the only disappointing thing was the behavior of some of the Pats fans. I have noticed this increasingly over the past few seasons. There is an arrogance and drunkenness that sometimes approaches that of Eagles fans. It's kind of a shame because it embarrasses the rest of us, and it's no way to treat what turned out to be a very gracious host. By the way, I never want to hear about traffic issues around Gillette Stadium again. This was the mother of all traffic jams. Texas Stadium was like Woodstock, with people actually pulling in the breakdown lane of the freeway and just leaving their car there. It was funny when we were forced to pull to the side of the road to let the team buses by, and I looked through one of the windows, and there was Andy Hart's massive cranium staring out. It was then that I realized you guys have the best job in the world.
Oh, yeah.
Finally, the stadium was
massive cranium.
It is what it is. Finally, the stadium was a bit disappointing. It's clear that Jerry Jones has decided not to sink another penny into a place he will vacate in 2 seasons. Well, obviously, I wouldn't either.
Right.
We had a spray down the seats in the press box.
Disgusting.
It was awful.
That's when I could get to mine, when the
old
bat was
you.
Done reading the newspaper in my seat. Oh, you're all here? Yeah, we're trying to work.
That was your seat.
His was phenomenal. He was rubbing legs with the hottest woman in Boston sports journalism.
I don't know why you have to be so mean.
What was mean about that? It was a fact. You were rubbing legs with the hottest woman in Boston sports journalism.
You're calling me like a molester, rubbing legs.
No, with press box. The chairs are close together. I rubbed
Tom's
sure legs.
I'm sure that's what everybody's thinking out there.
In Paul's defense, she didn't say a word to him.
No.
What are you talking about?
So you were hitting on her? Is that the direction we want to go with this?
I found out just how little she knows about
the game. Oh, come on.
It is what it is.
There's plenty of ugly men that know less than her.
This is true.
So I'll take the hot woman.
A couple less? Of them work upstairs.
One of them might be our boss.
Finally, the stadium. Blah, 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 yeah. From the outside, it looks like a parking garage. The world's tiniest bathrooms were filthy, and the floors had a coat of that same goo you find on the floor of a movie theater.
At Gillette Stadium. Yeah.
Hope it's not an adult movie theater. Once inside, though, it was great.
God.
Not a bad seat in the house, and right on top of the action. All in all, one of the better Pats trips I've been on. Well, that's what we said.
Yeah,
it looked like the
I
bowl.
I think that's a phenomenal
good way to watch
rundown.
Yeah. Good way to watch the game, but everything else.
The only thing I'll say is that, you know, I get on Patriots fans here, and maybe the Cowboy fans there in Dallas were good, but to be honest, this week I'm embarrassed to be a Cowboys fan. You got people like Creighton guaranteeing this and saying the Patriots aren't
if
that
they
good,
make it
if
to
they
Arizona.
Make it. You have I go to the Cowboys message boards, they're complaining about the penalties. Listen, you got whooped. You got whooped. Take it and move on with your life. Stop talking about the game. You got whooped.
He was also...
I just don't like a bunch of crybabies.
Complaining about Pats fans, that there were too many there. And
bandwagon fans. Yeah. Listen, no bigger bandwagon fans in sports than the Dallas Cowboy fans. Every person in the world, probably even you two, somewhere has a Cowboys t-shirt up in their attic, and as soon as they...
Or a Moose Johnson jersey.
Yeah, and as soon as they start winning...
As
soon as they start winning, these bandwagon fans go and get their Herschel Walker t-shirt and, here it is, and put it on, and it's skin tight like Kirsch wearing a John Elway jersey.
Like Fred's painted
on Elway.
And
they're pretending they've been fans all, so
Fred's Patrick Creighton. Though.
Patrick Creighton is a moron.
That was an idiotic statement.
Anybody who's that average in talent should just shut up.
The fans, that is an annoying thing when you're always complaining. And I've been critical in the past because it seems every time the Patriots lose a game, although that's not going to happen this year, as you know if you listen to this show, Andy, and I don't think that will happen. The refs didn't cost you the game.
No. Your defense cost you the game.
You weren't as
Your
good as the other team. That's why you lost the game. You couldn't stack up talent-wise. Just like in 2005 when the Patriots went out to Denver and lost in the playoffs, and there was
some
bad
calls.
There were absolutely bad calls against the Patriots, especially that pass interference on Samuel. But that's not why they lost the game. They lost the game because they turned the ball over five times.
And last year, you didn't lose because of Ellis Hobbs' penalty. You lost because Peyton Manning was out of this world. Teddy Bruschi wrote about it in his book. That's why you lost.
Yeah.
I just hate it when fans use
that
as a crutch.
But that's universal for fans.
No, it
is. And you're going to see it now with Red Sox fans, too. It's going to drive me crazy. The Red Sox are losing to a better team. Plain and simple, a better team that's playing better than they are right now. If you want to say maybe they're even, they both have the same record in the regular season, okay. So they say they're even teams, Cleveland's playing better right now.
Yep.
That's why they're winning. But you watch, when this is all over, it'll all be because of,
Jacoby
Francona
Ellsbury
didn't put
play.
Ellsbury in, and, they didn't start Beckett on 3 days rest and all this stuff, and it's all smoke-filled coffee house crap. Huh?
Yep, I agree. Wakefield did fine last night. If they got to score more runs than that off Paul Bird,
absolutely,
if they want to win.
Did you see it? By the way, his windup reminds me of what I picture Paul doing at BU. That old fashioned.
His ball probably goes about as fast as that.
I said,
and I don't want to face you, Paul. I can't.
I said to Andy last night. I said two things. Number one, how old do you think I am that you thought I wound up like that? And number two, I got better stuff than Paul Bird. I'm absolutely positive of it.
Big PFW, good night.
Jim, talk about the long touchdown pass to Dante Stallworth. It looked like you two were doing the jitterbug while the Dallas secondary was doing the Charleston.
PFW, hello to halfway around the world, Rob from Brisbane, Australia. I like Australia.
What's up,
Free
Rob?
Agency is the subject. Hey, guys, I just wanted to get your views on what Scott and Bill are going to do in the offseason to replace the possibly huge exodus of talent. I agree with this.
This could definitely happen.
The following most notable players could be gone next year. Oh, Gary's putting a pin in the map for Brisbane, Australia. 1, Teddy Bruschi. 2, Junior Seau. 3, Mike Vrabel. 4, Asante Samuel. 5, Eugene Wilson. 6, Rodney Harrison. 7, Randy Moss. 8, Kyle Brady. 9, Kevin Faulk. And I'll put a 10 in that he doesn't have, Dante Stallworth.
And maybe Roosevelt Colvin.
Why is he leaving? You're just going to cut him?
Yeah.
I don't think you can.
If you lose
Vrabel, Bruschi, Seau, you can't just cut him.
That's the other part of my bet. I haven't heard the guy's name called in 3 weeks. I say get rid of him.
Well, that's true. The only time I hear his voice is in the locker room or on the plane yapping. Is this the year we finally draft an inside linebacker, possibly a first-game starter? I think that's a possibility. Because I don't think Eric Alexander is going to be very safe at inside linebacker. I certainly don't think so either. I know it's a big stretch, but is there a possibility that we can acquire Brady James from the Cowboys? I would be all for that. I'm not too concerned about outside linebacker because I think Pierre Woods will be a solid starter next year. Not so sure about that. But certainly defensive back is going to be a major problem. Are we going to have to develop another rookie cornerback to partner with Hobbs and Gay? Do you see Merriweather and Sanders as our starters at safety? Just wanted some insight from the PFW team.
Well,
that's a good email.
The Cowboys only have 5 good players, and Brady James is one of them, so I don't think you're going to be getting him.
I'll take him.
Yeah.
And we want to be sure. Enjoy what's going on right now because this is historic, and I think they have a chance to do something that's never been done before. But it is okay to look ahead, and I think it's a very, I won't say likely, but plausible scenario that all of those guys that he has on that list.
Or at least 8 of 10 or whatever.
A good number of them.
A good number of those guys won't be back. And if they're not, where do they go? Now, we've been talking a little bit about the draft and the possibility that there are some linebackers finally we don't. None of us wants to say it because we keep saying it every
year.
Wrong,
and they 17
keep,
straight years,
and they keep going in a different direction. But it would seem to me that there's some linebackers that would fit their style with their size and their package of skills. Maybe this is the year they draft someone. They have. They're going to have a high first round pick with San Francisco because Alex
and
Smith is out.
That's the obvious one is linebacker because I agree with him. You have Sanders who's played. You have Merriweather, which in theory should be a guy who could develop into a player. Linebacker, you got nothing.
Right, and if you're looking at the two, in my opinion, it's Laurinaitis and Maualuga, two kind of different players. Maualuga's big. He's mean. He doesn't like anybody. He's one of those type of guys, our type of guy that we like. Laurinaitis, he's a little bit more. He's a little quicker, do some more things on the outside. But those are two guys I think that would fit this system.
I hope it's Laurinaitis, and if we draft him, I'm doing the story because I want to call his dad.
Okay, but one name I want to throw out. One name I want to throw out there if they decide not to go linebacker is the guy I like from Arizona, Kaysan, the corner. Arizona's defensive backfield has been decimated so much, and no one's throwing Kaysan's way anyway, so they moved him to safety. And that's one of those things, on draft day, everyone's going to be going, look, he's got the flexibility.
Right.
So that's just something I thought was interesting if they decide to go that route.
And along those lines, he had Gay as a starter, but Gay's a free agent too, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yes. He'll be.
So there's a chance he's not back.
He signed the high tender this year.
Right. There's a chance he wouldn't be back.
But I'm also not, and I know that we're not saying that all of these guys are gone, but I'm not closing the book like most other people are on Asante Samuel. I think they might look at him and say, hey, you know what? He did it again.
Yeah.
Let's get him signed up.
I
know
might
Andy,
not
Andy
close the book, but it's closing.
Andy
it's hard to still read those
that,
pages.
No, that's okay.
Pages are getting tough to read, Paul.
We don't all agree on everything.
On
that's
Paul's,
okay.
on right, Paul's point, if they lose a lot of those other guys, maybe they say, we can't afford to lose him too. He's had two great years. Let's get this guy locked up.
Because they don't want to get in a situation like they got at receiver where they had to let everybody go and they had nothing. And you're looking embarrassed, and then you cover your ass the next year by going out and get Moss and Stallworth and Welker. You don't want to be doing that at defensive back. You don't want to waste a year. I think they learned a lesson there by why are we wasting years here if
I thought
we can
they
cover
wasted,
our butt?
I thought they wasted too because there was two, I thought 05 and 06 were two different years. They didn't do everything they could to make the team as good as it could be.
Don't you think a little bit though maybe they were kind of just rebuilding on the fly a little bit, like they lost some guys, they tried some things that didn't work. And I really thought last year it looked like when the Deion Branch thing. That's why I think it's one of Bill's better coaching jobs.
He had
no business being in the AFC Championship.
But I think he realized I'm a pretty good coach, but I can't coach up everybody.
Yes.
I have to have some guys that can make.
I can't
plays.
Go out and get that. Who's the shoemaker they had at linebacker there?
Chad
Bisel.
Those guys just can't
PR
play.
Guy myself. That clip just finally stopped playing on Boston Sports Radio. John from Florida. John from North Carolina. I think the Pats are the most dominant team and have been for a few years. They have the titles to prove it. They are, well, not in the last few years. They are always a top five contender for the playoff for the season and playoffs. They don't always win them, but they're always trouble for the opponent. I'm glad I read that email. That's a John Rook email. That must be what they do on that show. They're great. They've been great for years. Just wanted to let you know.
I don't know why you had to take so many shots at John Rook.
Well, never got to anything there.
They've had a good run of success. What are you going to
say? Bob Lee in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada.
It's Regina.
What's that now?
It's Regina.
Boys have a penis. Girls have a vagina? Glad you clarify for me this rule regarding the defensive pass interference call levied against Watkins of the Dallas Cowboys at the Dallas goal line against Randy Moss. Dallas commentators and others claim that Randy Moss ran into Watkins while trying to catch a Brady pass and should have been called for offensive pass interference, and this got me thinking. If an offensive player, while trying to catch a ball, inadvertently runs into a defensive player who has established a position, is this offensive pass interference? Does the defensive player have to give way, alter his position, or be going for the ball for it to not be defensive pass interference, or should it be simply a non-call? Is there a difference between inadvertence and intent regarding this rule?
It should be a non-call.
That particular play, I thought, should have been a non-call.
Yeah.
I agree with
but
you.
But there is no non-calls when Carey is the referee,
right,
so
true.
It's got to be something.
I thought that there were, I thought the defender stepped up to make a play on the ball, and Moss was going over the middle making a play on the ball, and they ran into each other. I don't think there was, I do think there was some intent involved. It's not a black and white rule. It's a subjective thing, and
yeah, it's not like
the referee,
NBA. There's no charging. You can't establish position, and it definitely wasn't offensive interference.
I don't
no matter how you look
I didn't think it was offensive interference. That's
no call.
Why I thought it was a no call.
Yeah. I agree. Webradio@patriots.com. Webradio@patriots.com. Gary, I'm not taking a break. If they want to call us, it's 508-543-7482.
How long are we going here?
508-54. Well, we've gone to 12:45. I figure we might as well go through the top of the hour now. Are you getting antsy? You need to eat something? Fat bastard.
It always got to come back with a shot at me.
This guy didn't leave a name. Areas of concern, he calls them AOCs, which you can't bring up with Fred Kirsch because he'll just bite your head off.
You've picked the right day to write
Holy
in with these.
Moses.
You don't know who the email is?
Oh, by the way, the subject headline is, did Fred pick Miami yet? Defense, the secondary, Colts can beat them. Agree?
Defense. The Colts can beat anybody.
Yeah. No, I think the Colts have a special pass, much like the Patriots.
They fixed the receiver problem from last year, but there is still one area from last year that didn't get totally addressed, and it definitely shows up in the linebacker core. Youth. The Colts got younger and faster. The Pats are still working with Bruschi, Seau, and Harrison. Lack of youth in the defense could be the key factor. Just look at the second half of last year's AFC game. Pats' defense was worn out. I don't know. It's not just youth. It's the ability to run and make plays.
Yeah, and
Oscar Lua wouldn't help him out there because he can't run.
I think this week is a big week for the Colts.
Got a knee brace on.
The Jacksonville doesn't have any kind of defense or any kind of offense like the Patriots, but this is a team that's given the Colts trouble in the past with their running game. If the Colts can shut them down and not let them run the ball on them, I'm going to be pretty impressed because that's something they haven't been able to do in recent years.
Excuse me, yes. If they do that, then I'm going to have to change my thought on the Colts defense a little.
And I will defend the Patriots a little bit for the second half collapse last year. That defense is not the same as the defense that's playing right now, personnel-wise or otherwise, because you think about all the guys that are playing right now for New England that weren't on the field then. There was no Harrison. There was no Wilson. There was no Adalys Thomas.
And think about the guys that were on the field then who aren't with New England now.
But, I mean, there's four guys.
There's guys. Rashad Baker was on the field. Artrell Hawkins was on the field, right?
Four guys.
Telly Banta Kane. Oh, yeah, I forget. Rashad Baker is technically still here. Healthy scratch.
But my point
being, DNPCD, they call him in the NBA.
There were at least four guys that are playing prominent roles right now that weren't on the field last year. That's a major part of your defense. Now, I think that the Colts offense is good enough. It's gonna move the ball and score points on anybody in good conditions. Now, where I think that they would have a lot of trouble, and I maybe disagree with Tom a little bit. I don't see them throwing the ball the way they do in the snow. I just don't see that happening.
I don't think they're going to do that.
But you would mention that, you know, the snow is a good time to pass.
I'm saying it doesn't necessarily just shut your passing game down.
No, I think it makes it awfully difficult to do that. You know, and people are going to point to the snowball game when Brady threw the ball 50 times. They scored 16 points in an overtime game.
But I think Brady is more used to playing in those elements than the Colts. I think the Colts are built for, like, as an indoor team. Brady throws in the cold.
You're not talking about getting the ball down the field. You're talking about short passes. The old receiver knows where he's going, so the DB slips down when he makes his cut.
I think the Patriots had a lot of success against the Patriots in the snowball.
And I think the Patriots are better suited to stop that when they know that they don't have to defend the whole field than the Colts would be.
Yeah, if the Colts come here in January, they got no shot. Lights out. At the end, it's no chance.
There's no way they're beating the Patriots unless it's an unbelievably unseasonably warm day.
I think the Patriots would be able to throw the ball more than the Colts in that game.
And they will have the early game, if I'm not mistaken.
There is global warming.
They will have the 3 o'clock game.
Who in God's name came up with that schedule?
What?
Who in the hell wants to watch the NFC game after you watch
it? It alternates.
No,
every
I know,
year.
But it's just God. They should just keep it. Hey, if the NFC's we'll make them. If it's the AFC's better, we'll make
the
it
AFC
them.
Should be last every year until otherwise proven.
Oh, this is TJ and N. That's TG good for us, and NJ. Is there any possibility that the Miami game could be a trap? It just seems too obvious.
No.
I just, you know, like kind of like the Dallas Buffalo game a couple of weeks ago. I do think it could be a trap. I do think you could see the Patriots do some sloppy, uncharacteristic things, and I just don't think it'll matter.
And he ends with Eric can kick a football in a trench coat. No, he can't kick a football ever. He could be naked and not be able to kick a football. He doesn't have the talent.
This would be a huge, huge, huge upset. I mean, just a monumental upset.
Yeah, there's no chance. No chance at all. Oh, I like this email. We'll be skipping right to that one. And for the Eric, while we're on the topic of Eric, since he is the PFW representative at practice, did he go to practice?
Yeah, he goes to practice every day. You think he'd let us know about the
practice? You think he'd notice if Richard Seymour was even on the field? Or he'd be like, I wonder if Richard Seymour has a nice car I could talk to him
You know about. How he would know? Because everyone else will be talking about it.
Right. Yeah, he's good at picking up. This one is a good one. It's from Mike Askenassi. which is kind of funny. And it says, someone shut up Perillo.
What did I say now?
Guys, you know what would make great radio? Arguing over whether Welker is a good player, a good little player, or a great player. Oh, who gives a crap? He's doing what he's supposed to do, catch first downs and scores, and the Pats look fantastic. If the Pats win the Super Bowl this year, will it matter whether Welker received $2 million more a year than he is worth? Will it matter whether he would be an impact player if he played on the Giants, Steelers, or Niners? No. Paul, you're going down with the ship on this one, which I respect. But don't let Jake Steele bitch slap you around the way he does Felger. Just move on. Do you want to respond? Because there's another paragraph.
That was yesterday's show.
So yesterday.
We're not talking about that today.
Yeah, but I'm enjoying it. Seriously, though, guys, great show.
Seriously, though.
I listen to every podcast going to and from work and sometimes at work.
I'm not here to talk about the past.
Must work in the Air Force.
Andy, what do you think about that?
About what?
The whole Welker thing.
I think you're on the record. I've said that.
I gave my thoughts yesterday.
I'm going to play the role of Bill. I think my statements in the past have stood for themselves.
That's what I thought.
I think Welker's a nice little player. I agree with Gil, what's the old guy's name?
Santos?
No.
Brandt.
You don't win championships with Wes Welker. He wins championships with guys named Tom Brady and Randy Moss and Bill Belichick. That's how he wins championships. We might find out next year when it's Wes Welker and nobody playing offense for this team. Then we'll see how many catches he's making.
Now at least the next email will come in yelling at Andy instead of me.
Well, let's be honest. He's a nice little player. It is what it is. It's not a shot. He's a nice little player.
I couldn't have said
he makes plays to help teams win, but he doesn't make the key plays to make a team a winner.
I couldn't tell you many more different ways than I did yesterday about how good he played on Sunday. He was absolutely phenomenal Sunday.
I don't usually have time between 12 and 2 to email or call, but keep up the good work. Oh, and be nice to the leg. He clearly has that tortured artist thing going on. Well, he's tortured at least. That's true. He just copies the pictures. Not sure what tracing photographs counts as artwork. I agree. He sounds legitimately pained whenever he has to come on the show. So are we. I don't think he enjoys the abuse from the emailers the rest of the way you guys do. He's so sensitive, like a gay flower.
Not in a gay way, of course.
Well, you got the first part right.
Yeah. What does a gay flower look like?
What's wrong with you two today?
What does a gay flower look like? Don't all flowers have both? Isn't that like third grade biology, the pistil and the stamen? Well, I mean, look at me pulling that out there. Not biology, horticulturology. Anyway, I wanted to point out that it's time to start considering just how good Randy Moss is.
Mr. Tufts.
Tufts University. They sent me a thing asking for money yesterday in a little box to check off. The cheapest one to check off was, I believe, $250. You know where that one went? Got one of those little machines that shreds things so I can throw them out, not have my name on it. Once they played with him, 40-year-old stiffs like Randall Cunningham and Jeff George had the best seasons of their respective careers. Dante Culpepper almost won an MVP. He had a great year that year. The current Pats are one of the greatest offenses of all times. Can we agree that when he wants to play, he completely transforms an offense and is one of the great receivers of all time in that respect? The defense seems to revolve their entire defense around Randy. And as proven by the Randy ratio back in Soda, so do the offenses. I personally feel that he is probably the most physically gifted receiver to ever play the game. And if he was a bit less of a peckerwood, would be challenging Rice and Don Sutton as the greatest of all time. I didn't really believe that a wide receiver could elevate an entire team. Don Sutton?
Don Sutton or Hudson?
It says Sutton here.
No, Don Hudson.
Also a 300-game winner.
Right.
And an entire team by just his own play. And I didn't expect much more than 60 catches and 1,000 yards from Moss, but I'm clearly wrong on both accounts. Now, if we could only get Paul to admit he was wrong just once. That's Mike from North Reading. Hey, isn't that where Flanders lives?
Who cares?
Yeah.
A lot of rich people in that neighborhood, Tom.
I thought that Moss was a great Flanders acquisition.
And no one ever said, like, he's always been considered one of, physically, right, arguably the best of all time.
And he
but
wants to.
That emailer hit it on the head. Jerry Rice always wanted to. I mean, he was running hills when he was 45. You know, he was always trying. He was constantly trying to get better. That's the one thing, and you emailers can email in all you want. That's the one thing Moss doesn't have. He gets by on pure ability, and he doesn't push himself like those other guys do.
The clip we saw the other day when they were editing all the old, like, when he was mic'd up, and he said, I was born ready. I came out of the womb ready. That's what my mother had me, because I came out of the womb ready. It's true. You know, people talk about Rice, and I see all these things where, like, Brandon Lloyd and these guys are doing the brick thing. Well, you're not Jerry Rice. I don't care if you catch bricks like Jerry Rice caught bricks. You're never going to catch footballs like Jerry Rice caught footballs because you're not Jerry Rice.
Right. He was great.
Get over
it. And he put himself in such great physical condition every year. It made him unstoppable.
I think we're going to go with a theme to today's show, and I'm going to skip around a little.
Hold on. Let me just say
Joe Carson.
Okay.
Well, that's a good email, but go ahead.
Go ahead.
Maybe you'll fuel another one.
Let a guy yell at me. Go ahead.
Joe Carson checking in. Paul, why don't you just shove it? Hey, Paul. Please just shove your I'm a better fan than you crap. Don't listen to the two morons calling EEI and bash the rest of the Sox fans. Cleveland has a much better – oh, this is a new topic here. Cleveland has a much better all-around team, and they come into the playoffs playing really good baseball, and they have played really well to get where they are today. Cleveland fully deserved everything they have achieved – deserves everything they have achieved. You're going to see the predictable column from Schilling's curly-haired boyfriend blaming Epstein and Francona for picking the pitchers and not giving Cleveland enough credit. It will be the Globe writers and radio hosts trying to pass the blame and not the fans. Having said all that, I'm giving up hope on the Sox. I think they're a good team.
Chris Ferreira.
Oh, I'm not. It says I am.
But he meant I'm not?
I don't know. I think they're a good team and still have a chance, albeit a small one.
He must have
supposed to be a knot.
He must have left out the knot. No, that's a good. That's a good email.
How come it says cheers, John in Washington, but it says from Joe Carson?
Let me, John.
Joe, John, whatever you want to go by these days.
I don't want to paint. I'm not painting with a broad brush.
Joe would be good for you.
But when you say, I mean, sometimes when you make a generalization, and I know that maybe we should pick our words a little bit better, but I don't mean to say that every single person that is a fan of a team thinks this way. But there's a lot of people that you hear from that think that way. And it's not just people that call in on radio stations. We've just been walking around the building today. How many times have you heard someone say, why isn't Ellsbury in the lineup? Like, that would be making a difference in stopping Cleveland from getting a hit every time there's two men on.
Wait a minute.
He's an annoying host, isn't he?
It's unbelievable.
No,
it's
there's
like you
good
can't
reason.
Even have a, you can't even have a
there's
show.
There's good reason. Cali girl, our friend
He's
Chelsea.
He's busy making himself laugh over there.
Our friend Chelsea has sent in model photos that are supposed to be her. You know Chelsea in California?
Hang on a second.
I'll be the judge of this.
I'll, per request, some photos she said, and they're attached. Tom will go here. This
the
is...
The other one does have her name.
It does have her name. I can't get to that one, Gary. How do you go back? Right here, Tom. All right, forward. Failed to load photo. Oh, I'm a monkey. Right here. Everybody's huddled around me looking at Chelsea. I won't say her last name. And,
Chelsea, if you want to do it with a Patriots employee, feel free to look me up because I got no problems cheating on my wife.
Okay, Chelsea, so you got one interested party over here. Good morning.
Ugly.
That's true. Good morning, guys. What a wonderful weekend it was. I'm still gleaming, and I enjoyed my lunch that I got yesterday from my coworker who was silly enough to bet against me on the game. Wow, that was silly of them.
Absolutely.
Well, if that's what you look like, he just wants to bet with you, just trying to get you in the sack.
He's betting he can get in your pants. Anyways, I was listening to Colin Cowherd on is it Cowherd or Coward? On
I ESPN, always say Coward, but I think it's Cowherd.
Who is just an FYI Mike Vrabel's favorite radio
yes,
host.
He is.
Absolutely
yep.
Couldn't get enough of Mike Cowherd. I mean, Colin Cowherd yesterday. And he was talking about the Patriots, and he said something that made me laugh. That maybe to give themselves, the Patriots, a challenge, maybe Brady will go out with a blindfold or the receivers will tie one arm around their backs. I thought it was hilarious. Okay. We'll stick with your looks.
Oh, my God. No, I think it's funny.
Question.
Great email.
In the game Sunday.
I think these pictures are similar to Eric Scalavino's football career.
I do, too. Fictional. In the game Sunday, during the first half, the Patriots didn't spread their offense until the second half. Were they trying to hide their spread offense, trying to throw off the Cowboys to see if they could beat them that way? Is there a defense out there that can challenge the Pats' offense, and can someone stop this team?
No.
I don't think there is.
I could take the Randy Moss approach. I don't want to say yes, but I don't want to say no.
You know how when you guys go home, you actually become human beings, and when I go home, I'm still me?
You look at pictures of Chelsea and, you know.
No, I just I was trying to think of the last defense that could really stop this offense, and it was the guy we were talking about. I think the 91-92 Eagles is probably the – with Clyde Simmons, Jerome Brown, Reggie White, you had Byron Evans and whatchamacallit, what's the other guy? I always forget the other guy. Seth Joyner.
Yep.
Andre Waters and Eric Allen in the secondary. That was a defense where you could get pressure on the with your front four. But since then, and we're talking 16 years ago.
Right.
Like that Ravens defense, no shot. That's the most, in my opinion, the most overrated defense in NFL history. So I think you have to go back 16 years. And I'm not even saying they could. I'm saying if you were looking for a good matchup, no.
I think the problem is, and what I think the Patriots would do to a team like that, and I don't know that team's roster that well, so I couldn't tell you if they had the ability to do it. Maybe the Ravens might be better. You might be able to say that, you know, Jerome Brown and Reggie White and those guys could get pressure with the front four. What the Patriots would do is they would either get you to get some of those guys off the field based on their personnel packages, and they would spread the field on them, or they would force you to find out if you had enough defensive backs to cover.
Right.
Because it doesn't matter how much pressure or how fast you get that pressure if you can't cover.
Right.
And that's what's the problem. I mean, I thought Dallas got a very good amount of pressure on the passer, and they did it without selling out.
I think that would be a good chess match, though, if you had Buddy Ryan and that great defense against this offense. That's something I would like to see. Obviously, you can't, but that's something I would like to see.
The play on Sunday that was amazing to me was, I believe, after the when the Patriots fell behind on the ensuing drive, there was a third down in Cowboys territory around the 40. They weren't even in field goal range. They probably would have forced a punt. Maybe they would have gone for it on fourth down. They had a blitz up the middle, and they got there. The guy came through clean, and he threw a pass while running backwards off his back foot, giving ground to Jabbar Gaffney, who was wide open.
Yep.
And if you can't cover these guys tightly enough, he'll find them. No matter how little time he has to do it, he'll get it there. But
just in today's football, I mean,
I don't know who has enough defensive backs to do that.
Like, if you were in the 90s, you'd have that Eagles defense. You'd have the Cowboys of the 90s. You'd have the Niners. Those teams all had good defenses. I'm not saying they could, but at least you would have some tests where you say, wow, this is a good matchup. You look at today's football, there's no, I mean, with the Steelers, they don't have any defensive backs to kill them.
That's why I don't think the Steelers can
I agree with you.
All right, John.
Good email, Chelsea, and I was the only one who believed those pictures were real.
Former Patriot punter Lee Johnson, Clint Scholes, Tyler Rizm, you're all up next on PFW in Progress.
Whether it's football, Irish drunks, or vacuums, Andy Hart lays down the law.
Isn't he awesome, you guys? Dude, he just goes around imposing his will on people. He's my idol.
Patriots.com Radio. Action is back in Foxborough. Once again, your New England Revolution have advanced to the MLS playoffs and are looking for a return trip to MLS Cup.
Drive to Forum, and the goal! 1-0 Revs! What a huge tally for New England!
Saturday, November 3rd at 7:30 p.m., Taylor Twellman, Pat Noonan, Matt Reese, and the rest of the Revs take to the field in Foxborough, and they want you there to cheer them on to victory.
Takes a touch, and buries it! 1-0 Revs! The sellout crowd! Foxborough rises to their feet.
Individual tickets start at just $18, and significant discounts are available for groups of 20 or more. Bring your family or group, and don't miss a minute of this exciting playoff match at Gillette Stadium. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS. That's 1-877-GET-REVS to get your playoff ticks.
Get your kicks.
And get the Revolution.
Revolution.
Hi, this is Richard Seymour. If you're a big Patriots fan, show your team pride and win great prizes by ordering your Patriot Specialty License Plate. Team Rules says your car has to be registered in Massachusetts to be eligible. When you place your order, you have the chance to win Patriots tickets and memorabilia. Proceeds from the sales of the license plates go to the New England Patriots Charitable Foundation. Now that's worth driving for. To score your new set, apply online or in person at your local RMV or log on to Patriots.com for more details. Show your team spirit, give to a great cause, and get your Patriots License Plate today.
When you got a lineman size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Miles and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we got to go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo! And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
When Andy and Tom left for the combine, they begged Paul to host the show.
Do it! Do it!
I guess peer pressure paid off.
I'm gonna!
Patriots.com Radio.
Back here, PFW in progress, Gillette Stadium. Emails are rolling in, making fun of Fred, making fun of Paul, calling for Paul's job. But the latest has a different target, and it's a target that's often the target of the PFW staff themselves. John Smith checks in. The subject is Craig and next year's draft, but that doesn't really tell the story of the email. Craig, stop calling. You drag the show down, you effing retard. How the hell does Fred defend Fred? About Eric.
You can't speak, by the way. You can't make fun of Fred anymore.
Why?
You said Frag.
You said Frag.
Oh.
You misspoke in the beginning, too.
About Eric. Now we go to all uppercase letters. How the hell did Fred hire that loser?
I know from experience.
He doesn't know anything about football.
Well, that's
also
obvious.
What do you guys think about Quentin Groves from Auburn and Derek Harvey from Auburn?
I love Groves. That's the guy, Paul, who caused the fumble there in the when they played Kansas State. Remember, they at the end of the game, they were up by three, and they sacked the Kansas State quarterback and picked it up and returned it to win by 10. I don't know if it was early in the year.
I've never seen that game.
He's a great edge rusher.
Well, that's what he said, as that rush outside linebacker.
That was a little snapshot of how I know all the guys in college football, is I watch the games, but I don't ever remember the names. And Tom says, Paul, that's the guy that fill in the blank. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like the twins from South Carolina with the funny name, Jasper and Casper, right? And he'll tell me what the names are, and I'm like, yeah, I know who you're talking about. But I just remember the players. I don't remember the names, which is kind of tough when you come to draft time. But.
And what about free agents next year like Terrell Suggs? I don't think they'll
let
him go.
He's going anywhere.
I remember at the Combine, Ozzie was talking about specifically you can't keep everyone. You got to make decisions at – who are you going to keep? That's one that they're
But don't
keep.
You think that would be a guy that Belichick would love to get his hands
on?
Oh,
yeah. If he reaches the market, I'm sure Bill will go after him. No question. But I just...
I agree with you guys.
That would be bad business by the Ravens to first lose Thomas and then lose Suggs.
Right.
Ostensibly, you lost Thomas, so you wouldn't have to lose guys like Suggs.
Yes, and unless you're going to find an offense soon, that doesn't make any sense.
Lee Johnson checking in, and he apparently doesn't want to talk about his punting career. It's what I learned from the Dallas game. Can we define good little player? Let's say there are game changers, quality contributors, starters, good backups, borderline roster players. Where would you place Welker on that continuum? I'd put him on...
What was the first two?
It's game changers, quality contributors, and starters.
Quality contributor.
Yeah, he's between starter and quality contributor, somewhere in there.
Oh, he's a starter, too.
Well, I know.
But, quality contributor, absolutely.
Yeah. Next, I think the Pats D is very good, holding the best offense in the NFL to 20 points without Seymour and Harrison playing terribly, but not great. With BB as the mastermind, do you think we'll have trouble hurting the Colts when it matters?
I just don't think he can stop the Colts. Unless BB makes it snow in the dome,
I think it's going to be a very, very entertaining game to watch, and I just don't see one team laying an egg.
I hope not. Because I'm looking forward to it.
You never know for sure, but I just don't see one team laying an egg.
Looking forward to that trip. The game.
I like that trip anyway. I like going to Indy.
I love Indy.
It's always a raucous crowd there because it's indoors. Yeah,
great city.
It'll be fun.
Is Dallas's D the worst we've faced this season? 48 points all scored by the offense. Or is the Pats offense getting better even without Copen, Watson, Maroney, or Sammy Morris?
I don't think it's the worst. I think Buffalo is his worst.
I think it was a big game and Brady was on fire.
The Jets are worse.
Your boy called timeout.
Cincinnati. Yeah. Well, God, I mean, Cincinnati is by far and away worse than Dallas.
Why did Wade say?
And they also got an interception for the last touchdown, so it's really 41 points.
Why did Wade say post-game that the game wasn't as bad as the final score would indicate?
Because he's a loser.
Seems ridiculous.
That's what losers say.
It's a ridiculous thing for a coach to say, even though I think there was some truth to it. I don't think.
Yes,
but I don't think they.
You don't say that.
They were.
You don't say that as
absolutely.
A coach.
I don't think they were all played by 21 points, but it's a ridiculously stupid thing for a coach to say.
It's Wednesday, and they're still talking about the Patriots. And you think they're going to beat the Vikings by 10 points?
I'll give my boy, you know, I'll bring that conversation up again, Rodney. You know, and that's what he said. You know, it doesn't win or lose.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make a lot of sense to treat a game like that because it's going to have ramifications down the road.
Clint Scholes from Omaha checking in. Hey, guys, I haven't rewatched the game yet, but during the game, it appeared that Adalys Thomas didn't play as much as he had in previous games.
Yeah, I think you're right.
What do you attribute this to? Injury or game plan? Or both? I added the or both. I thought the Pats acquired him to help in pass defense. If he is unable to cover the TEs, we could be in trouble with the Colts and Dallas Clark. Rodney appears to be a liability back there.
I think it was injury.
I do, too. I think he looked terrible the second half. The week before, after he hurt his ankle, and this ankle thing could go all the way back to the preseason, which means it's a lingering re-injury type thing.
I have no idea what they were talking about, but I saw him and Bill talking in the locker room today for about 5 minutes.
Oh, I saw that too.
Now they were, you know, it didn't appear to be anything. They were smiling and laughing a little bit too, so I didn't necessarily think it was, you know, how you're feeling, you know, what do you think you're going to be able to go and whatnot, but. I think that he's been nicked up, and it's been affecting him all year.
And I don't think if he was healthy, he could cover Dallas Clark. That's a mismatch, in my opinion. I think Clark is one of the hardest mismatches one of the biggest mismatches in the game right now that the Colts have. That's why they're so successful, because you try to take those receivers away, he's so tough to cover one-on-one. And,
don't you love when you're making a point?
Sorry, Gary handed me a photo.
He's the worst host. He's way worse than Fred.
Now, can I – Gary, can I say this?
No.
Well, then how am I going to explain it?
So this whole thing was
it's
just
a T-shirt it's that they're now wearing at South Carolina, and they are the Gamecocks, correct?
Yes.
So, and you know in the hats, they don't put game, they just put the word?
Yes,
well, the T-shirt says...
I've seen the picture, I know what
the quarterback
says.
Is his favorite player on that team. It's his favorite, so it's...
My
doesn't work.
And what's the quarterback's name?
Smelly.
My favorite is Smelly.
My favorite what?
Gamecock.
Exactly. It's a good T-shirt. I'd buy it. Maybe I will order one. How do you get those? Deja Vu. This is from Nicholas Nick, or Nick Nichols. Hey, guys. I recently watched a movie called Deja Vu, starring Denzel Washington, in which a secret government project had developed the technology. Where are we going here? To send back its past. Denzel tries to send a handwritten message to his police detective partner warning him of an impending murder, but it backfires and the partner is killed. The movie was pretty mediocre, but got me thinking. If you could send one warning message back into the past to change Patriots history, which would you choose?
Hey, but, Drew, here comes Mo.
Hey, Drew, get down!
Get down!
No question that would be Paul's, but there's choices. One, a message to Troy Brown right before last year's AFC Championship game versus the Colts, warning him about running the wrong pattern on the key third down play in the fourth quarter. Getting the first down on that play would have allowed the Patriots to win that game and maybe win the Super Bowl. Or two, a message to BB prior to this year's Jets game warning him of the backlash that would occur if he continued to take the signals of the opposing team. Four tainted Super Bowls or three untainted titles. Which would you choose and why? That's Nick in Vermont.
I don't know about
Fred
those
would eat
two,
this question up. Fred would it, love this
I,
question.
I actually like the question because I like silly hypotheticals. But
Drew.
I got a different one. No, the Drew one obviously would be for my personal being. But for the Patriots' best interest, if you could go back and change something, Robert Kraft hiring Belichick in 97. When Parcells left, he wanted Belichick.
I think Paul's being a little disingenuous here.
No, I'm saying if you're going to be for the Patriots.
What, Bill here earlier?
Can you believe it? It's football time.
Did you hear
here
what I
go.
Said? Personally, it would be Drew, get out of the way. Here comes Mo Lewis. For the team's benefit, it would be Robert Kraft wanted to hire Belichick first and didn't do it. Looking back, if he had done it in 97... You know, maybe we're talking about the all-time dynasty of...
Tom, why don't you pick one of these?
We
one or two.
His lights out.
Warren Bill or Warren Troy Brown?
I stopped listening to you.
I don't think Troy Brown ran the wrong
route.
I'm
the worst host in the business. You're the worst co-host. You're not listening to the emails
I'm
reading?
You're talking to yourself. You're making jokes.
I'm reading emails.
If you just say, complete that pass, then I would complete that pass. I would rather have that.
Yeah.
Because they would have won four titles. I don't. Just, the Cambridgegate thing, whatever. People
they're going to win four titles right. in 4 months now.
No, I understand that, but that would be five. No matter.
Because they lose the Colts game if you warn Bill about the thing.
I don't care about the camera thing.
Oh.
Because I don't. I mean, people are going to always question that. It doesn't matter. They still want. You can't take the titles away. So I'll take the extra title.
It's not college basketball around here. Josh Miller is the subject line for Matt and Quincy. Titans have released Josh Miller. I didn't even know he was there. That aside, can we expect him back in Foxborough?
You knew the Titans had Josh Miller.
I'm reading an email, Paul. It says I didn't even know he was there.
Oh, I'm sorry. For one of the few times he was actually reading an
that
email.
That aside, we expect to see him back in Foxborough sometime soon? If not, I'm guessing his departure was personal, as Hansen makes me long for the glory days of Ken Walter.
Has he been that bad?
He hasn't been as bad as Ken Walter.
Ken Walter was the worst I've ever... Who?
Brooks Bernard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I don't think Hansen's been as bad as Walter.
No.
Walter was bad for years here. They brought him back.
You guys know more than me, but I told you, I watched that...
He stunk.
I watched that snowball over, and he did exactly what you guys said. He kicked it 28 yards in the air every
time. He's terrible. Paul, you checking the stats for punting?
Yeah.
How bad he is? He's pretty bad now.
Yeah.
While you're checking
He doesn't have enough to qualify. Oh, wait a minute. Wait. He's not in here.
No, he's not in.
He still doesn't qualify.
Yeah, I checked last week.
Can have more than two punts a week.
There's only 13 punters listed in the AFC.
Because he has, what, 13 punts all year? And what's last, 12 or 11?
13 is how many Hansen has?
I think so.
Hunter Smith has 13.
Oh, I thought Hansen had 13 punts in the year.
His net average is 29.4.
Hunter Smith's or?
Yeah.
Oh, then he would beat him. Because his net is 31 and change, I think, or something.
43.1 gross, 29 net. That's huge. The Patriots are going to win that game because of special teams.
Well, I'll tell you what.
They're a mess.
Those two offenses don't need two bad punters given a good field position.
No, but you know what I'm saying? Like, that game is going to be decided by – they can't cover a kick, and they don't make any kicks anymore. They all get blocked.
It's true. Tyler Rissom checking in with his list of Pro Bowlers. Tom Brady, Randy Moss, Wes Welker. Anybody have a problem with the Welker?
I don't think he'll make it.
And on defense.
I mean, if he keeps up this pace, he'll make it. But I'm not sure that he
On defense, three players.
If he catches, if he has games like
Holy
he did
crap,
Sunday,
he just went through a whole conversion. Wes Welker's now a Pro Bowler.
If he has games like Sunday, he deserves to be a Pro Bowler. And, you know, if that's enough of a mea culpa for everybody.
If he has games like Sunday, then it'll be the second time in his career he has games like Sunday.
Right. To me, that was
He's never done it before, so. On defense. Asante Samuel, Adalys Thomas, and Gary wasn't ready. Today, Junior Seau.
I don't know how I don't know how you can overlook that defensive line.
I'm efforting the punting stats.
Oh, okay. Dave in Storrs, Connecticut. After Fred's new name. After Fred's
Hansen punted 13 times. I don't know why he didn't make it. His net is 33.2. Sorry, Andy.
After Fred's idiot Cowboys pick, which he couldn't even justify, we should call him Fraud Kirsch. We have been. Have you been listening?
We've
been calling him Fraud Kirsch for weeks now. Anyway, do you see the lack of turnovers created by our defense as a concern? I know that we haven't really needed them so far, but when the Pats were winning Super Bowls, they were creating tons of turnovers. Well, they had to. We also play the Colts much better when we cause turnovers. I was a little concerned about our lack of turnovers heading down the stretch against a team like the Colts.
I don't think it's going to matter.
They're averaging two a game.
Well, and I also think...
I don't think that's that bad.
It's like saying, you know, when they were winning Super Bowls, Troy Brown was getting big punt returns. They needed him back then. Now they line up on offense, start at the 20-yard line, drive 80 yards, or throw a bomb, and they score. I mean, they can score. I don't think they need the turnovers like they did before. What do they always say? Turnovers is a great equalizer. That's how you win if you're not quite as good.
Yeah.
You're the best in football
right
now.
It's like the Colts offense didn't need turnovers for the last 5 years.
Right.
They
so
just scored too
you
many
just score points.
Points.
There's 35 punters that have punted the ball at least once. He's 34th.
Who's 35th?
Hunter Smith.
Dave Zastadil.
Oh, yeah. He was
so
hurt,
he's
right?
below Hunter Smith?
He only punted the ball four times, though. I don't understand why Hunter Smith is ahead. Oh, because gross average is 43.1 for Smith, 37.1 for Hansen.
Yeah.
That's why.
He's just not good, let's be honest. Where's the guy that's available, the old guy? Yosemite Sam Player.
Gary Player.
Is he on there?
Although Zastadil is 38.8,
I know,
so I don't know why he's behind.
Dude.
Who are you looking for? What old guy?
Gary Player.
Oh, yeah, he's available. Gary Player.
Strippers checking in says, what channel slash time is PFW show on? It's on New England Cable News at 11 o'clock on Tuesday nights, replayed at 11:30 on Tuesday nights, and then it's on a few other times in like 3 a.m. in the morning or something.
Take the Vikings, stripper.
Please don't. Why do you have to end the nice relationship we have with strippers?
Take it to the zoo, Rock.
So that's for everyone else. Watch the show. It's one of those great. We're like the Friday.
Watch it this week.
Well, definitely watch it this week, but watch it in general. We're like the Friday Night Lights. Yeah, we have
gonna,
a nice little following, but no one cares.
It's going to be like it hits its high point this week when you watch it, and then next week it's going to be, what happened to the show?
That's true.
Fred will have his shirt unbuttoned. He'll be leaning back because he won't be getting called on.
That's true, too. Maybe if we need the Red Sox to make a miracle comeback here, so we continue with the substitute host for another week.
I like the substitute host. Webradiopatriots.com, webradiopatriots.com. Join us with an email. No callers today. How come? Where's all our callers?
Well, we had Lucky.
Where's our regulars? Craig, John, John. Don't we have like seven Johns?
We had Lucky.
The guy from the Philippines.
He's not getting it.
We did have Lucky. Lucky was a good caller.
And that's all we need.
Oh, you don't like callers. Okay, Dan in Fairfax. Pro Bowlers. I don't think there will be nearly as many Pro Bowlers as you guys seem to think.
Why?
I don't think that the players will vote for Patriots, and they make up a third of the decision. Brady didn't make it last year, for goodness sakes. I figure Brady, Moss, and maybe one defensive lineman. By the way, I filled out the ballot this morning. They didn't even put Sayo on the ballot, so he won't be making it.
I think that Brady is one of the best quarterbacks in football and therefore always deserves to be in consideration, but I don't think he got screwed last year for not being a Pro Bowler. Do you guys?
Tom's yawning.
He was probably just assuming that you were going to start laughing indiscriminately.
I was laughing at him yawning.
The only argument you would have is the Rivers Brady argument,
which was comparable. They had comparable years, and San Diego had a better record.
They won more games. He had no weapons at receiver.
And by the way, on that, Brady got asked over Rivers and turned it down.
Did he?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Then it's
because they were alternates.
They were both alternates.
If I'm not mistaken, maybe it wasn't Rivers, but one of them. That went was an alternate.
The only thing I'll say about Brady and Rivers is that traditionally they give it to the veteran.
Yes, but we've seen a change in that the last couple of years. We saw it with.
So does that mean Roy Williams won't make it this year?
No, but we saw it with
God.
With quarterbacks, I'm talking. We saw it with Romo last year. See, this is your fault.
What?
This is your fault.
What's my fault?
You know what's going to happen.
Phone's ringing off the hook in there.
Oh, thank God.
Craig in South Carolina joining the show to much the delight of many an emailer and PFW listener. Craig, what's going on?
Not a whole lot. I know you guys were talking about Brady, and I just joined the show. I've had a few internet problems. Let me ask you guys this. If Tom Brady, I know it's very early, it's ridiculously early, but if Tom Brady's not the MVP of the league this year, who is the distant second?
Well, Randy Moss.
We've only played six games.
If not Brady, Randy Moss.
I would say Peyton Manning, because you can vote for him any
year. You can always vote for Peyton Manning.
Well, Brady's never been in a position, really, to be considered the MVP of the league.
Well, he finished in the top three.
He never had the receivers.
No, through six games, in my opinion,
he's a lock.
It's hands down.
Yeah, if he continues on this type of anywhere near this type of a pace, he's a lock to win it.
Yeah, it's like saying the year that Manning broke the touchdown record, he wouldn't have won MVP. You know what I mean? It's a runaway.
So, but there's going to be other players that have great years. Peyton Manning's going to be one of them. LT will be there at the end of the year. We're looking at it today. He's got 600 yards and six touchdowns.
And if, like, the Titans win 10 or 11 games, Vince Young will be in the mix.
I mean, there's always going to be other good players you could vote for that have very good years.
Right. I just think through six games, it's no one close. And if you're going to say who's second, I would say Randy Moss.
Sure. All right, Craig.
Paul, I just wanted to let you know you did a good job on the NFL Network last week.
Hey, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
That was a chance to blow it up, Gary. See you, Craig. You didn't even get blown up. That was a terrible phone call.
What's Gary doing in there?
As soon as he said, I just wanted to say to Paul, blow it up. Blow it up. Mark Melia, Mark with a C from New Hampshire. What do you think about the Chris Chambers trade? I think that is going to be a good pickup for them, and if we have to see them later in the playoffs, that could have a big impact.
I think it's an excellent trade for San Diego. Tom talked about it off the top of the show. I totally agree. And you made the comment, Andy, that you know, before the season, if you had said they made that deal, it was already considered to be a very talented team, and they were bringing in a receiver. You compared him, Tom, to Lee Evans, you know, a guy who's very talented, who just has never had a quarterback. You know, we talked a lot about Welker, okay, when he was with Miami, and the fact that he didn't have a quarterback. Well, Chris Chambers, it would be even more difficult for him to make an impact with a lack of a quarterback because he's more of a downfield big play threat. It's even harder to get him the ball when your quarterback doesn't have the ability to do so. So I think Chris Chambers is a pretty good player who's been stuck in you know, the purgatory of Miami's offense the last several years.
And while that may help their offense, unless Ted Cottrell was replaced, I think they would have a lot of trouble beating the Patriots in the playoffs.
He's another one of those we-do-what-we-do guys, right?
Especially when they have to go on the road, come to Foxborough.
Yeah, say goodnight.
You know, see, if we really knew a lot about football, like we could like break down the X's and O's, we could go back and watch the tape of the San Diego game, right? And then we could go and preview the playoff game when if San Diego, you know, came here in the playoffs, like some of these people are saying, and we could know exactly what the Chargers were going to do on defense. We could just say, well, this is how they played them last time. Look for the same thing.
Well, that's what Bill does. I just don't understand football, I guess.
Strippers always helps us out. Vince Young went to the Pro Bowl and Brady declined, he says.
Is that the one, Vince Young?
It's according to strippers.
Yeah. I think Brady would have gone, but he didn't want to. He wanted to go play in the Pro-Am. So that golf thing.
Bill C. in the Spoke, Washington. Why
the Spoke?
Okay. Spokane? Is that near Drew's Walla Walla Vineyard?
You know what's funny you bring up, Drew? I was watching, clicking through those 200 channels last night, Tom, watching a little NFL Network, and there was a college football, one of the college football stations had a, you know, a classic game on. It was Washington, Washington State in like 2002. And as right as I clicked it on the phone, Drew Bledsoe, he was talking like during the game, was watching against Washington State.
I was really good in junior high, too.
And it was his first year in Buffalo, and he was talking about, you know, remember he had a really good year, and he's talking about, you know, like it really makes you step back and appreciate the game all that more.
Well, that's like, something that I'll be proud of.
Hey, I recognize
that
voice.
I'll be proud of the fact that I have that ring. There aren't too many of those in the world, but I'll be more proud of the one that I win in Buffalo.
that's a good line. That's a good line to have on hand. Bill from the Spoke says, why do wide receivers point towards the sidelines when lining up at the line of scrimmage before a play? Is this to verify with someone that they are on sides?
Yes.
And that they're on the line of scrimmage?
Yeah, that's what I meant for the onside, but yeah.
Yes.
Don't they check with the ref to see with one guy split
out? That's the guy that they're,
well? They're making
with.
Sure.
It's the line judge or whatever it's called, the guy in the
So you don't
side.
Cover
Field
up a
judge.
Guy and have an illegal formation. So, yes, that is the exact fact. Web radio at Patriots.com, web radio at Patriots.com, 508-543-7482. More PFW in progress after this.
The PFW boys will teach you the basics.
All right, you guys, it's first down. I'll hike the ball in the third set hut. Kylan Cartman, go deep post outs. Kenny, run a slant up the middle. Butters, be ready for the screen.
Eric might need a little more time.
Right. What are we playing again? Football. Got it.
Patriots.com radio.
Playoff action is back in Foxborough. Once again, your New England Revolution have advanced to the MLS playoffs and are looking for a return trip to MLS Cup.
Drives it for him, and the goal! 1-0 Revs! What a huge tally for New England!
Saturday, November 3rd at 7:30 p.m., Taylor Twellman, Pat Noonan, Matt Reese, and the rest of the Revs take to the field in Foxborough, and they want you there to cheer them on to victory.
Takes a touch, and buries it! 1-0 Revs! The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet!
Individual tickets start at just $18, and significant discounts are available for groups of 20 or more. Bring your family or group, and don't miss a minute of this exciting playoff match at Gillette Stadium. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS. That's 1-877-GET-REVS to get your playoff ticks.
Get your ticks.
And get the Revolution.
The Revolution.
This is Richard Seymour. If you're a big Patriots fan, show your team pride and win great prizes by ordering your Patriot Specialty License Plate. Team Rules says your car has to be registered in Massachusetts to be eligible. When you place your order, you have the chance to win Patriots tickets and memorabilia. Proceeds from the sales of the license plates go to the New England Patriots Charitable Foundation. Now that's worth driving for. To score your new set, apply online or in person at your local RMV or log on to Patriots.com for more details. Show your team spirit, give to a great cause, and get your Patriots license plate today.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we gotta go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo! And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
PFW in progress. These guys rock.
You're damn right they do.
Patriots.com radio.
You are damn right we rock. PFW in progress. Wednesday afternoon. The pizza's all gone. We haven't yet got word from our boy Eric with a K, the kicker, that...
It's two slices.
We, I figured, just assumed we were going to eat those. We haven't gotten word yet from Eric with a K from practice, whether any of the guys have joined the practice fields.
I know from experience.
Which is unfortunate.
Dude.
He really could have stopped by and updated us.
That's my fault, actually. I should have told him that on your way back upstairs after practice, come in and let us know
in
if
this
anybody out there.
Concrete room.
Any of the PUP guys are out there practicing. I did not
He probably
do that.
Didn't notice. So Gary to get that for us.
We need to stop that.
We got webradiopatriots.com, webradiopatriots.com if you want to join us. And as we just heard from Craig, if you'd like to join us via phone, 508-543-7482. Our good buddy Dave in Philippines was good enough to email. He's not going to call today. He doesn't have much to say, which I don't know if he knows how it works with other callers. They don't use that same refrain. Craig calls regardless of whether he has something to say. Few others that might fall into that list.
The first time Craig has something to say, it'll be the first time.
no disrespect to John Rook, and this is Dave's email, but it's way too early to talk Pro Bowl selections yet. I'll vote later, except Tom Brady is in for sure. That's pretty good lock. Moss, barring some collapse or falling apart or whatever, is in, I would think. Also, I don't see how anyone could claim that giving the ball to your almost rookie fourth-string running back at the end of the game is running up the score, especially when you have your first two backs injured and you may need the Echol next week.
Well,
the Echol.
The only thing I'll say, and I would ask Bill if I wouldn't be escorted from the press conference, but to me, if you're down 14 points, the only way to get back in the game is to run the ball with 35 seconds left,
to
have
me.
It fumbled, return for a touchdown, get the onside kick, throw a Hail Mary in the end zone. The only way. If you take a knee and give them the ball back with 12 seconds, the game is over.
Right.
There's not enough time to do everything you need to do.
Right.
Just the right. That's all you got there.
Why should I add something?
So now totally it just doesn't make sense to me strategically.
Yeah, it's,
I think he got a little snippy at the timeout.
Yes,
that's what I think.
Yeah, and
I agree.
And I think in a combination is he has Echol as his guy. He clearly likes Echol and the whole Naval Academy respect thing. So it's kind of a multi-sided coin.
Did
just
they
give
throw
him the ball,
him maybe.
Yeah, that's a dicey subject, but we won't get into at this point. But you know, I think you just say, okay, I'm handing it to Echol. Hand it to Echol. If he scores. I don't care if I'm running
and
up.
And the
Echol
Cowboys should be able to stop Echol. So let's put they probably gave up. It shows the true character of their team.
All right, the Jackson boys are on the field, and that's it. Chad Jackson, Eddie Jackson, both of whom opened the year on the physically unable to perform list, were present for practice. That means the Patriots have officially started the clock on both of those players. This is from Mike Reese, by the way.
Classic. I wrote yesterday in PFW. I think Brown and Seymour will come first, and I think they wait as long as possible with the Jackson boys.
Patriots will now have 21 days to make a decision on whether to place both Jacksons on the active roster or on seasoning any injury reserve. Richard Seymour and Troy Brown, the other players on PUP, are not present. Elsewhere at practice
during the media portion of practice.
Sammy Morris, Benjamin Watson, Mel Mitchell are the players not present for the media access portion of the workout.
Who's the third? Mitchell, Morris, and who?
Watson.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And the three practice players of the week were Marcellus Rivers, Pierre Woods, and C.J. Jones.
Damn. C.J. Jones doing a nice job for himself.
Rivers working in that. That's going to be working to my tight end story.
Marcellus Rivers is going to be one of those guys that makes the jump from the black jersey to the real game day jersey, maybe making a couple catches. It's good stuff there. It's a little bit of a problem, though, that we're quoting Mike Reese when we had a guy out there.
I just wanted to get the information out there to our listeners because they deserve that.
It's not your fault. It's not my fault. It's not Tom's fault. It's Eric's fault.
It's Fred's fault.
It's my fault for not telling Eric.
That's true. Who was the guy who said, why the hell did he hire him? I agree with that guy. Good email.
I should have told him specifically to come in and let us know.
You should have told him that there was news happening and you have no news for the news, nose for the news, and we got to put it right in front of you on a silver platter. We all right?
I'm fine.
Okay, good. Now, if Tom had thrown another touchdown pass to Moss, then maybe Dallas would be justified to whine about it. But come on. I thought it was great that Bill gave Echol a chance to get some carries. And even if he never plays again, he'll always have that memory.
You shouldn't whine about it because they did throw a pass once. It was against Tennessee, which was clearly running up the score last year. And Jeff Fisher didn't say a freaking word about it.
Exactly.
You know that he was fuming inside and he wanted to kill Bill. But he's a good coach, so he just shuts up and takes his medicine and says, maybe someday I'll have a chance to do the same. That's how you treat it. You don't sit there and complain about it for three freaking days.
I remember the old days back, I think it was the late 80s, maybe early 90s, when Cleveland and Cincinnati used to play each other and Sam Weish called the timeout. Kick a field goal to make it 61.
Yep.
That's good stuff.
The Cowboys did the same to Buddy Ryan when they sent him off to retire.
They were winning a game something like 58-14 or whatever.
They called timeout.
And he threw a pass about 20 yards over the middle. They had no timeouts left at the end of the game. And they ran down and called they had one timeout left. They threw a pass. He called a quick timeout with like less than 10 seconds left so they could run the field goal unit on the field. And they kicked it to make it 61.
And when
Sam Weish.
In Buddy Ryan's last game with Arizona, the Cowboys were kneeling on it up 35-13 and called timeout with 2 seconds to kick a field goal because of all the past history they had with him, and Buddy walked off. He got his fat butt off the field.
But that's what you have to do. I mean, you keep it in mind. You put it in the back.
And that was a good 10 years later when the Cowboys. So, yeah.
They ran up the score. I think Dallas's reaction is pitiful.
Yeah,
pitiful.
And you remember the first thing that started with Buddy Ryan, right, where they faked the knee and they threw Cunningham through because Tom Landry had all the guys during the strike. All his guys were there, and they were running reverses against the Eagles when they had guys like a Papalia off the street. So he was running out the clock, and Randall faked the knee and stood up and threw it in the end zone. There was a pass interference, and with no time left, Buddy ran it in. So it all comes back. So just shut up. The Cowboys should be embarrassed and ashamed.
Yep, I agree.
Our friend Larry sent us an email with a link to one of the indie papers, just a little short piece on the tickets for the Patriots-Colts game coming up. The rematch of the AFC title game is a sellout, but tickets are being resold for skyrocketing prices.
1,500.
Premium seats right now between the 30-yard lines behind the visitor's bench are going from $1,275 to $4,500 per ticket at StubHub.com.
Wow.
And Circle City Tickets owner Rennie Harrison, it's close to Rodney Harrison, said the prices for this game are similar to the playoff game last season, the AFC title game. We never anticipated this game would be like this, he told the Indy Star.
That's unbelievable.
He didn't?
For a regular, $5,000
no,
for
just,
a regular
I'm
season
saying,
football game?
We all knew that was going to be a pretty big game. It's, I would never pay that.
It's still five times more than money. I would think that would be for a regular season game. I would never pay even $1,000 for a game, but that's...
Yeah, I wouldn't pay anything. I'd go down to the bar or stay at my house, watch it on TV. You get just as good a view.
There's nothing better than watching football on TV. It's the only sport I think is worse live. It's a TV sport, and I think that's one of the reasons why it's so popular.
I agree.
Jimmy in Orlando. Afternoon, bitches. I say vote for the defensive veterans. Some of them may not be around another year. Out of respect, Wilfork, Samuel, Warren, Thomas will have their day. So he wants to vote for...
Rodney?
Rodney, I guess.
He can't go.
Seau. Oh, yeah,
he
Rodney
can't
go.
Anyway. He's ineligible.
Seau, Brewski, Vrabel, those. I mean,
well,
those
Seau's
are the
going to have to get a lot of write-ins.
That's true. Yeah, that's interesting. As for the F/U touchdown?
F-U.
F-U touchdown?
You
at
get
the
it.
End of the game?
It's the thing I say to you all the time.
Oh, okay. What's more insulting? When... We run it in and let you try and stop us or take a knee as to say you couldn't stop us anyway.
It's not.
It's more insulting to have it run in on you.
And
taking a knee is what everybody does at the end of a game that they've won.
Like as Bill said today, the Dolphins, for instance, last year.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah, that was part of his little hype machine there. That was good. Hey, guys, you once said Chad Jackson was as physically gifted as any receiver on the offense with the exception of Randy Moss. John Tomasi was reporting today that they are practicing. They are practicing.
Chad Jackson is practicing.
Could he add even more to the passing offense than we already have? Maybe a four wide of Randy, Wes, Dante, and Chad Jackson? That could be a pretty lethal combo. Chad would be able to run by a fourth string corner. What do you think? 50 to 60 TDs for Tom?
Well, now are we installing the run and shoot? I'm just wondering, because how many receivers are we going to have on the field at all times?
Miami's going to trade guys to get guys on the field.
The only thing about that, though, is, you know, if, and I don't know how serious it is, but if you've lost Watson, who's been a part of those four receiver packages, now you need to, you know, Marcellus Rivers isn't going to give you the same threat.
No.
Right. Chad Jackson might.
But you don't think Watson's lost, do you?
No, I'm saying if he's out for a game even, or two.
Yeah, I would assume he'll miss some time, but I don't think he's lost.
I agree.
But it's what we talked about all along, Chad Jackson. Yeah, he's got talent, but I haven't really seen all that much
to
tell me he can put it together.
Yeah, I'm still not sure he's going to be activated. But
and the other aspect is when we saw him last year, he didn't show the big play ability to beat a corner, make a play, to run past anyone. I don't care whether it's a fourth corner or not. He just didn't show the ability to make a play.
The fact that he is activated and practicing so quickly, do you think that would say that they plan on activating? I mean, because why would you do it right away?
I have no idea.
Yeah, and where's Troy Brown? Is he done?
Don't know.
I really have. I said, this couldn't be any more opposite of what I expected to happen. I mean, why are we rushing these two back? What, do you need either of them?
Like I said, the only thing about Eddie Jackson is maybe if Mel Mitchell is out long term, I would think that he'd be a Mel Mitchell type.
Yeah. And now if Alexander is out.
Yeah.
You're starting to chip away at some of your special teams coverage guys.
Some of your depth.
Maybe that's what Chad Jackson's doing too.
Maybe. He's a physical guy. They brought him in to block a lot last year. And
kind of reminds me of Kelly Washington. That's why I was thinking of it.
Yeah. No, I just, I'll be honest, I'm stunned. I thought, there's no way I thought those two would be activated and the other two would be just in limbo now.
I thought there'd be a better chance that all four of them practiced today than the two singular ones that did practice. I thought that would be the least likely combination.
Yes, I agree. Or so do we just assume that, well, first of all, do we take it as gospel?
What?
Like, is there any chance that Bill doesn't practice some and then all of a sudden they're at, like, activate Seymour to play?
I don't think so. I don't think he doesn't practice at all and then plays in the game.
Of course, we also know that this practice is the media portion. That's what they say. I mean, we don't know. I know you have to announce it to the league and tell the league, but.
Right. So if Seymour's out today, they have to announce it, right?
In theory. I'm just saying, in theory. NFL rumors. Brady, the latest Patriot to break the rules. Oh. I opened this up. Somebody sent a link, and I thought it was something. It was the chin strap thing. The fact that he got warned and then fined for having his chin strap unbuckled or something.
Brady did?
Yeah.
I didn't hear
about it. Ty Warren also did, too.
When?
I don't know. It was in the Globe this morning.
No.
It was the lead to Mike Reese's notebook.
You're kidding me.
No.
About chin straps?
Yeah. And it also had a couple lines defending Brady as to why it was, you know, he one of them is a high strap, and it's hard for him to tell that it's unbuttoned. No, I'm being serious here. Just so you know, read the clips when you get back upstairs, you know.
I'll be sure.
Or you could skip past that and go to the Herald where the lead note was that Sammy
Morris
could be
out for a month. Yeah. That's the kind of stuff I'm looking for in my notebooks.
Strippers checking in. I paid $305 for 13th row, 40-yard line for Miami. Fair?
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, if you wanted to go to a game that bad.
For one ticket?
40-yard line?
That's what it costs to go to games nowadays.
That's
face value, that ticket was probably, what, $125 anyway?
Yeah. That's not a bad deal.
Yeah, I guess. I just,
I mean,
it's a bad game.
It's not, well, but you're going down to Miami, it's a weekend. If you're
right.
Especially if you're a guy like Strippers.
They just want to see the Patriots. They don't see him every week like us.
Strippers is going to be in Miami? Should we
exactly.
talk to Strippers?
Exactly. I'm guessing
see if we can meet up with some Strippers?
I'm guessing he's going to have something to do. You know,
and Strippers, if you have something to do,
we would like to.
I'd like to
do them too. I mean, it. PFW, do you think the Randy Moss could help Chad Jackson somehow? I feel that Jackson has the physical tools. See, this is going to be a nice little topic here. We got a new topic with Chad Jackson practicing. Has the physical tools, but seems a little immature. Maybe Randy Moss could help from his experiences. Also, is Gary's job really that important? Those interns were awful. Gary is the best next to Tom.
Thank you. Who's this?
Mark with a C.
I like Mark with a C. I don't know if Randy Moss is ready to be a mentor. It seems to me like he's just here. He does his job. You know, he'll joke around a little bit, but I don't see him in that mentoring type of role, really. I just don't. I think that's in some people.
Right.
Like, it's in some people, and others, they just go out and do what they do and go home. I think that's more Moss.
I think there's some truth to that. I do think that it would be a good influence, maybe, because...
Well, it would mean something.
Yeah, we're just watching
him. If a guy like Moss says, you know, you have talent. Like, you might not be as good as me, whatever, but...
That's what I'm saying.
I screwed up. Don't waste three. I wasted 4 years. I wasted 3 years. I did whatever.
He did.
Don't do that. Well, I wasted a couple years in Oakland.
What happened on Friday?
Oh, that mini Gary is terrible. Terrible. He screwed up openings.
Dvorkin.
He had things. He had things playing.
Dvorkin?
Dvorkin.
No, wasn't it mini Gary?
I thought Dvorkin was the one who was messing
Paul
up.
Just hates Dvorkin. So I
thought he dragged the show into a morass.
No, mini Gary left someone called and he left the phone off the hook and we started to hear
that was Dvorkin. I was here when that happened.
To drag this program into a morass of negativity.
No, it was because it was mini Gary. He was because when you weren't here, it was mini Gary.
That happened when Dvorkin was.
Because Fred was yelling at him because mini Gary was making all hand signals and Fred just stopped reading and goes, "What are you doing back there? I don't know what that means." Oh, it was great. He's terrible.
That's any day with Fred, though. Yeah.
That's true. I pinned that all on the host myself.
But it did look like he was giving him, like, the bunt sign from third base. I had no idea what he was doing.
Pete from Hingham checking in, and he wants to talk about Chad and Eddie Jackson because they have been activated now to practice, and there's 21 days. Do both either make the roster? Who do they replace? What sort of impact could they have? And he really wants to know about Eddie Jackson because he doesn't know much about him. So, Paul, why don't you handle that?
I'm a vegetarian.
All I can tell you about Eddie Jackson is what I just said about Mel Mitchell, and then you added in the thing about Eric Alexander. I think he's a special teamer type. He's a cornerback by trade, obviously, so he would add ostensibly some depth to the secondary, but I think you'd be asking him to play special teams if you're bringing him back on the roster at this point.
But we're to assume, I guess, that both these guys are 100% healthy.
I would think. Why would you do it?
Activated immediately.
Right. Why would you activate him so quickly if there was concern still about their health?
Because Chad Jackson, let's not forget, is not that far, what was it, the last weekend in January? So that's... What's this? He's 9 months
and
from ACL
Jackson
surgery.
Was in December.
Right. So both of them are less than a year from ACL recovery.
I thought Jackson was an October injury.
Okay, so right at a year.
Wasn't against the Jets, I thought I heard.
Either way, right about a year, but not a huge amount of time for either guy, although in this new world of modern recovery, who knows what the timetable is on those anymore.
Easy.
What? I'm just saying.
Strippers, look that up. When was Eddie Jackson hurt? I thought it was Christmas night. He's good at that
stripper's
stuff.
Strippers better researching than Gary. Sorry, Gary. What is this paper you have to hand me?
Why don't you give me that media guide right there?
All right. Hey, guys.
Gary, right there.
Sometimes you all drive me crazy, but I realize it's because I've started listening to you a lot more often, so there just may be some kind of entertainment value, right? In other words, email and or call me and give me the number for you to stuff your faces. As payback, console me with the missing Watts. Console me that missing Watson and Morris this week won't matter against the Dolphins, even though New England has historically had tons of trouble down in Miami. And what player combos would you try on offense?
Tom is correct. He was injured on December, whatever the date was. He was placed on IR on December 26th. He played in 14 games.
Chris, don't send food today. We already ate pizza.
Is he a starter? He didn't start, did he?
No, he already sent starts. It.
He already sent food? Oh, Chris.
He'll be here in a little while.
We'll eat it.
John Rook will eat.
Holy Moses, emails are pouring in. Did you go through Eddie Jackson there? I was reading about the food.
Tom was right. He was injured on Christmas because he was placed on IR on December 26th.
That's a tough day.
He played in 14 games last year for the Dolphins. Eddie
and
Jackson.
Nick Saban loved him.
Evidently.
Wasn't that the tale? Wasn't that the story we were told when they signed him, that Nick Saban was in love with him, and as soon as Saban was gone, because, you know, the Belichick-Parcells coaching tree, you don't go after another man's players. So they had to wait for Saban to be out of there. But that if he's a Saban player, he's a Belichick player. And
okay.
What? I thought that was out there. Isn't that actual and factual?
I just like the little shots that you take.
I don't believe it's a shot. I believe it's on the record. They weren't going to go after Adam Vinatieri in Dallas because he was a Bill Belichick player. Am I wrong with that? Tom?
No, that's right.
So that seems to be, you know, that he was mad that the Jets went after Deion Branch. There's an issue there. You're not supposed to go after other guys' players from the tree, right?
I guess.
It's out there.
Okay.
It's well-known, widely known fact, Paul. Or, I don't know about fact, but it's widely known story.
Exactly.
It's a widely known story.
It may or may not have gotten me banned from a Cowboys message board.
I'm going with it may. Kate Hudson is the subject line of Bertoni. Oh, he did the little pronunciation in Lake Worth, Florida. Hey, guys, what's up with Kate Hudson hanging in the Patriots box in Sunday's game? Just wondering. Also, Paul, I got a chance to watch you as well on the Duke show and thought you did a great job. That's the best performance Paul Perillo has ever put forth. It was tremendous.
No, Kate Hudson. I know it doesn't say that in the email.
No, that was me.
Thank you very much for the nice words.
Kate really kind of balances out the show from the ones that were calling for your job early on.
I thought she delivered, to be honest with you. I thought she looked good.
Terrible. What would be just a jaw? Just a woman. Nothing. Did nothing for me.
I thought she looked fantastic.
And as we stated yesterday,
you guys saw her. Did you see her like
going into the locker room? Well, as we were going into the locker room, she was.
You saw her at the elevator, right?
She walked right by us in
she rubbed
the
me.
Elevator.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay.
She's.
I was kind of in my 12, own little world.
She's 12-year-old girlish, kind
well,
of.
Well,
I like her.
She lacks something that Andy needs, and I thought that she was very pretty.
Strippers needs it, too. So.
But
she's there because
she
has somehow developed a little bit of a relationship with the crafts.
And she's been in Boston for several weeks shooting a movie right now, and somehow there's some connection.
She went with the crafts.
Are any of them single?
Who's them?
Any of the crafts. I'm not talking about Mr. Kraft.
None
or...
of the ones that were no, because it was Dan, Dan and Jonathan were there, right? Well, actually, I didn't see.
They're all married. That's what I'm at.
Yeah.
Like,
oh yeah,
okay.
Yeah, no, this is just a influential celebrity people crossing paths, and hey, you want to come to a game? Kind of thing. Not a yeah. She's been
in
Boston.
It may surprise people out there, but rich people actually hang out together.
Right,
right.
And they run in the same circles, so it'd be like. Us seeing somebody at a bar and saying, hey, you want to come to this game?
It's not like Andy has Jessica Alba in his favorite five or whatever they call it.
I'd love to. He's got another email here. His all came in all at once, so I don't know if there was an issue. But I heard Bill said on an interview with the EI guys on Monday afternoon that the reason why they went for it on that fourth touchdown was because of the timeout. Yes, I think that was a part of it.
I agree.
I think that irritated him.
And you know what? It would have irritated me, too. Like I said, I have no problem with it. I don't. Shut up and stop him, Dallas.
Is it true that Eric Alexander was injured by a teammate during... This is Dave from the Philippines. A post-play celebration. I can't believe that happened on Coach Bill's team.
That's the word.
That's the report. I didn't see it. I saw him on the sideline hurt.
Why can't you believe that it happened on a Bill Belichick team?
Right. Well, I don't understand.
You've seen them.
They celebrate. They bang into each other.
It's funny because I read something this week, and I forget where I read it. Someone might have seen it. They said how they knew that Dallas was in trouble because they were jumping around and celebrating even after the most routine tackles, and the Patriots were just out there all business. And I was like, Vince Wilfork stormed into the backfield, made a great play on the second play of the game,
great play.
He went into like a Denny Terrio, dance routine.
Got no problem with any of them.
That's what you do. You celebrate.
That's
like saying you choked on popcorn and they had to take you to the emergency room. Well, I can't believe that happened on a belt. I mean, they're on the sidelines eating popcorn, for Christ's sakes.
And I like
Eric Alexander and Pierre Woods, who I believe the name that was associated with hurting him.
That's what I read.
That's those guys. That's their
Super Bowl. That's
Tom Brady to Randy Moss. That's where they make plays. And if they make a play, that's when they need to celebrate because they're not going to get another chance.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right.
So
that's
have
their
fun.
Time
Plus,
contribute.
It's special teams. It's you got to be a little hyped up and running around, have a little extra juice in the veins. And
every kickoff team that's ever taken the field in the NFL has done it. The guys are running out there yelling at the crowd, getting waving their arms, trying to get the crowd involved. That's their time to
organized
shine.
Organized chaos, all that.
That's their time to make a contribution to the team.
And it happens all. I mean, I'm actually surprised there's not more injuries and celebrations sometimes because you do see people like a touchdown celebration, like a tight end will run into the quarterback, and you say that's the hardest he's been hit all day.
I like the push thing, when you run up to a guy and you just push him, and the guy goes back 20 yards.
Baseball, every once in a while, somebody gets injured in one of those at the mound where 700 people dive on each other.
I don't know how they don't get
hurt. That's how Ted Ginn got injured.
On walk-off.
Yeah, Ted Ginn.
Yeah.
Hasn't recovered since.
not half as fast
as he was before that play.
I don't know how baseball players don't get hurt on walk-off hits when they're doing the jumping around at home, walk-off homers.
When everybody has, metal
spikes.
Cleats on.
Actually, Andy, though, you brought up a good point. That's what I'm going to go with. The injury. Never been the same since.
That's fine.
I didn't know he was going to be slow.
Still going to lose the bet. Actually, I told you guys before the season that even if Troy Brown couldn't play anymore, it was worth hiring him to lock him in the PUP closet with Jackson for a few months. Take Jackson's physical ability and add in Troy Brown's motivation and spirit, and you could get a future star. You guys called me an idiot back then.
And I still think you are
maybe
one.
That's exactly what has happened, and that's why he's back on the field today.
I don't think Chad Jackson will ever be anything like Troy Brown.
Well, I think they're totally different players, too.
We have another phone call from a terrible caller. John in Rhode Island joins us on the line. John, what's
that's
going on?
Me. Hi, guys. First time, long time.
You're in your mom's basement?
My mom's basement. No, I pay the mortgage on this basement.
With this gig? You get enough in this gig?
No, not on this gig, trust me.
I was going to say, if it's on this gig, I want to know what your agent's name is.
Exactly the point.
So, John,
we determined that two guys were off the PUP today?
Yeah, the Jackson boys, the exact opposite of what I expected.
Yeah, no kidding. No.
Eddie and
Shock
Chad.
And surprise. Shock and surprise.
I'm a little surprised. I thought Seymour would definitely be activated.
Had you seen him in the locker room, Paul?
Lately. About 3 weeks ago was the last time I saw him. And I actually just used the word activated. That's not the right word. They were at practice.
Right.
Yeah.
They have
right.
That starts the 3 week window to which the Patriots have to make a decision.
Correct.
They could be activated right away and play on Sunday, but it could be as long as 3 weeks now.
Right. And they could also, as I understand it, they could the players that, were not at practice can stay on the PUP for, another 3 weeks, right?
Yes,
right.
Before they start practicing, and then another 3 weeks. So you can go as many as 6 weeks from now with a guy like Seymour and Brown.
So we could be Thanksgiving before any kind of decision really is made on that.
Yeah.
But more importantly, the John Rook types in our listenership have jumped onto the fact that now Chad Jackson is a member of a four wide receiver set making huge plays down the field because Randy Moss has taken him under his wing. Do you buy into that, you super fan, you?
Randy Moss is actually taking somebody under his wing?
Yeah, that's the theory.
Wow, even John's not buying
speechless.
That one.
Speechless.
I have to admit, first of all, I think we all realize that to get Randy Moss as far as he has come and to have bought into the system and all that kind of stuff, I think that people don't realize that was probably still a major undertaking, at least to an extent, based on, his previous, 10, 12 years, whatever it was in the NFL. So to that extent, we might be asking a little bit too much of him to say, hey, could you now serve as a mentor?
Right.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong here, guys, but I don't really see that happening. Do you?
No.
No,
not really.
I don't. I think that Moss has been great since he's been here, but I don't really see him as a mentor. I think that's the way Tom put it.
Yeah, and but that's fine. That I don't have a problem with that. I want Randy to just go out and produce just like anybody else does, you know.
Right.
And that's all the team expects of him. They don't say.
Yeah.
I'm sure they don't say, all right, Randy, you know, now you need to go out and you need to coach these other kids up. And it's like, well, I'm not a coach.
Let him lead by example, and maybe Chad Jackson watches the way Randy Moss goes about his business, and that should be a positive thing all around.
You know, Chad Jackson has got to be smart enough to realize that if he wants to get into this mix here, he's got to get healthy and he's got to do things the right way. And if he can see Randy Moss, for lack of a better word here, capitulate, then I think he's probably capable of doing the same as well.
All right, John. Well, we left you plenty of emails.
Cool.
And you have a huge show lined up anyway. You got Dan Dierdorf and a bunch of other bigwigs. Just one favor. Can you ask Dierdorf about burping during a Patriots game? Because I've seen that connected to him on the Internet, and you can get the down low on that, all right?
I thought he didn't do that. I
was under the impression that he did not do that.
Yeah, double check with him.
Even though it kind of sounded, but maybe we could ask him to leave one for us, you know, for Sunday.
Yeah, that would be
just as a way of saying hi to the Patriots.com radio listeners.
That would be a good get if you can get it. But enjoy the show, and PFW in Progress will be back here tomorrow, Thursday, Patriots.com radio.